Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show, coming up next after the CBS News.
Where's the distance between a love and a friend? When you hear the laughter from a child, you will know.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Dan Revive. At the Democratic Convention in Denver, the state-by-state voting just now underway here in the convention hall after nominating speeches.
I can't tell you what an honor it is to be here today to nominate Barack Obama.
A young war veteran, a registered Republican, his name Michael Wilson, with this role
as the next president of the United States.
That was after brief nominating and seconding speeches for Hillary Clinton. At a hotel earlier, she spoke to fervent supporters.
I am here today to release you as my delegates.
Some of them shouted no. Later here, former President Clinton will speak, and the evening ends with Senator Joe Biden. By then, he'll officially be candidate for vice president. Right now, we have the state-by-state voting, Obama way ahead of Clinton. I'm Dan Revive at the convention in Denver with more CBS News. Cami McCormick.
Forecasters don't know where Tropical Storm Gustav will head after entering the Gulf of Mexico in the coming days, but in Louisiana, they aren't taking any chances. Homeland Security Director Lieutenant Colonel Jerry Sneed.
We are prepared to move 30,000 citizens with our trains, buses, and the airplanes for the tourists.
WWL's Jay Vice talked to some residents of New Orleans.
Some folks doing business here at City Hall say they are making plans.
Yeah, we made a lot of preparations. We're trying to head towards Houston, Texas. If not, we'll probably head towards California.
Well, some are just watching and waiting.
Well, come Friday or Saturday, we'll know a little bit more definite plans. I mean, we don't know what's going on with it just yet, you know. Get the hell out of town if it looks like it's coming, that's for sure.
Jay Vice for CBS News, New Orleans.
Gustav drove oil prices higher today, up $2 to $118 a barrel. Some analysts also worry the storm could reverse the downturn in gas prices. U.S. Marines could pull out of Anbar Province, once the most dangerous place in Iraq. Security has improved now. The Marines are needed elsewhere, like Afghanistan. General James Conway.
If there is a stiffer fight going someplace else, in a much more expeditionary environment, where the Marine Air Ground Task Force really seems to have a true and enduring value, then that's where we need to be.
General Petraeus would have to approve any withdrawal from Iraq. The ceremony handing over Anbar security to the Iraqis is scheduled for next Monday. President Bush is meeting tonight with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to discuss the increasingly bitter dispute between Moscow and the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, a U.S. ally. While some have warned this could blossom into a new Cold War, Russia analyst Jonathan Sanders believes that's far from the truth.
The situation in the Caucasus is growing more tense. The level of distrust is going higher. The fumbling and bumbling on both sides, or on all three sides or four sides, has been abominable.
On Wall Street, the Dow finished up 89. This is CBS News.
Don't miss Lowe's Big Labor Day event, where you can get 10% off major appliances priced at $397 and above. Get $5 off 1 gallon or $20 off 5 gallon qualifying Valspar paint via mail-in rebate. And get 12 months special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Not to mention new lower prices throughout the store. So come to Lowe's this Labor Day weekend. Lowe's, let's build something together. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Credit offer available August 28th through September 1st.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 30% too. From August 28th through September 1st, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. Save up to 30% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paints, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
So who are the world's most powerful women? CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor has the latest Forbes ranking.
She's the Secretary of State of the most powerful nation on Earth, and yet...
this is not a matter of politics.
Condoleezza Rice slips from 4th to 7th on Forbes' annual list.
Peace and love.
Oprah Winfrey at number 36, just behind Nancy Pelosi.
All Democrats salute Senator Hillary Clinton.
Her historical candidacy helping Clinton to the 28th spot. The most powerful woman on the planet, Forbes says it's Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Arctic sea ice continues to melt. It's now at its second lowest level ever, according to U.S. scientists, who say the melting could even surpass the 2007 record low. Police in Florida were in hot pursuit of a man in a high-speed car chase, and when he was caught, they say his excuse was he was asleep and someone else was driving. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
My bed is a Sleep Number bed.
My bed is a Sleep Number bed, too.
It is the same bed.
But we can adjust our side to make it feel like our own.
I wish my living room felt like my own.
See, that's funny. I know the deer head bothers you. But whose exercise bike is in my workshop?
Well, who built his birdhouses in my exercise room?
That would be me, but that doesn't change that we're a married couple.
Yes, we are.
And we compromise when we have to.
Yes, we do, but never in bed.
No, we don't.
Over 5 million people have found their own personalized comfort in a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my sleep number bed. You mean mine?
Yes.
Right now, during our biggest sale of the year, every Sleep Number bed is on sale with instant cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 full years on approved credit. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for a Select Comfort store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day.
America is on the road to regime change. Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter B. Collins.
It's day 3 of our special coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Radio Row in Denver, Colorado, at the corporate center named after a sugar water. Which one is it? Oh, Pepsi. We've got a lot of great people lined up to talk with us today, and if they all show up, it's going to be a magnificent program. Kudos to Katrina Rill, our producer, working double time, overtime, and around the clock here in Denver to make all this happen. And also Nick Tanham doing a flawless job back at Master Control in San Francisco. And, of course, tonight is going to be an exciting one. Bill Clinton is the major speaker, and will he eclipse Joe Biden, who is prepared to accept the nomination as vice president this evening? A lot of other great speakers are on the agenda, too. And there's been an interesting shift, perhaps because they were concerned about backlash from Hillary Clinton supporters. The nominations are underway right now, and the roll call vote will not occur in prime time. It is scheduled to complete in the next hour or so. And Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com is in the house here and is roaming around seeing if there is, in fact, some sort of a floor fight developing. Now, based on the Senator Clinton's speech last night and her release of the delegates, one would not expect that. But from what I understand, the release of the delegates did not include instructions on how those delegates should vote. Now, it may not be an issue, and maybe the Obama folks and the chair of the convention, Nancy Pelosi, have counted their votes very carefully and don't expect a problem. But a little drama wouldn't hurt. I certainly wouldn't mind, an interruption to this very carefully scripted convention. In a moment, Bob Borisage will join us. He's the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. Campaign consultant Peter Fenn will be with us in a few minutes. Vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, Susie Turnbull, is scheduled. Also, Adam Schiff, who is, of course, Adam Schiff is a congressman from Los Angeles. We'll see if he or Susie Turnbull gets that slot. We're going to meet Tony Massaro, who is from the League of Conservation Voters. Congressman Dennis Kucinich will join us. Ron Pollack from Families USA, the healthcare advocacy group. Paul Waldman from Media Matters, a regular on our program. Congressman Jim McDermott, who I mentioned on the program yesterday. He's a very progressive and a psychiatrist, in fact. I've been on his couch, and he will be joining us. He's from Seattle. Also on the program, we're going to talk with Joan Claybrook from Public Citizen, Keith Ellison, the only Muslim member of the House of Representatives. He's from Minneapolis, and also Jay Inslee, a Democratic congressman from Washington State. So quite a lineup, and I'm looking forward to talking with each and every one of those individuals. Robert Borisage is here. He is co-director, co-founder of the Campaign for America's Future, their website, ourfuture.org. Bob, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Been a busy week.
It sure has. And I want to ask you something, because you worked with Jesse Jackson on his presidential campaigns. Haven't seen him here. Al Sharpton.
He's coming in today.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he have a speaking role at this convention?
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah.
His son, you know, had the...
Jesse Jr. spoke on Monday evening.
Big speech on Monday night, and I think they picked one Jackson.
Okay. But Al Sharpton has been relegated to the table behind us here at Radio Row. And for my money, I know Barack Obama gave a great speech at the 04 convention in Boston. But it was when Al Sharpton went away from his script and told the truth that I stood up and applauded and said, yes, yes, yes. So we're not going to have anybody go off the script here, are we?
Well, I assume Bill Clinton's going to write his own script tonight, so we'll see about that. But I think, no, you're not going to have a kind of, to the extent you're getting something close to Al Sharpton, it was Governor Schweitzer last night, who at least had the crowd on their feet and put a lot of energy in the room.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you size this up, Bob? You are a real progressive. You and I share a lot of values. We get together every year for your conference, the Take Back America conference, and we have a lot of critical issues facing the incoming administration and the next Congress. And I told you before we came on the air that I was sad to do this, but I've given the Democratic Congress under Speaker Pelosi a D+. And I want to see them improve on that, and I offer it in a loving way, because I really want the Democrats to move us forward. And Obama does talk about change, but he never has claimed to be a progressive, even though many people have projected that onto him. So how do we advocate for our issues, and with your sense of the incoming Congress, how much work do we have to do to keep progressive views and voices in the forefront?
Well, you're going to have a Congress that has greater Democratic majorities in both the House and the Senate, and so that will make, if Obama is the president, that will make it easier for them to work together, more likely to get something done. On the other hand, you've got corporations buying in big time into the Democratic Party and into their campaigns, buying up Democratic lobbyists and getting geared up for what they know will be a Democratic Congress. And so it's going to take, as Obama says in his speeches, it's going to take a mobilized public to stay mobilized to get to take on the interests that stand in the way if we're actually going to get real changes made, particularly changes that help working people. And you know, the next president comes in, he's going to inherit a recession. He's going to inherit the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. He's going to inherit a broken health care system, an unending war in Iraq, and an increasing occupation of Afghanistan. So there are going to be fundamental choices right away. And the way our system works historically, you know, you get reform in spasms of activity. The crisis takes place, and the crisis and leadership is there, and the public demand is mobilized enough that it forces Congress to act and the interests to get out of the way. So Roosevelt at the early part of the New Deal, Johnson in 65 with the Voting Rights Act and Medicare and the Great Society, Reagan on the right side of this town in 1980 when he came in and rolled back taxes and doubled the military budget. Obama's going to face that kind of, or the next president's going to face that kind of moment where the conditions are right for dramatic action, but it will take a mobilized public demanding it and going after the people standing in the way. And then for progressives, we've got to build a progressive movement that continues to drive this debate and drive ideas through this debate, and then really does hold people accountable. We've got to start recruiting people to challenge legislators that are not with the reform agenda. We've got to challenge people who are voting for their contributors rather than their constituents. And, you know, what we saw with Ned Lamont when he took on Joe Lieberman, was Lamont beat Lieber in the Democratic primary, and the voice of Democrats on the war changed across the country.
Yeah.
They started that election talking about armored vehicles and supplying the troops, and with the head of the Democratic committee telling them, don't talk about getting out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And after they saw what Lamont did to Lieber, and they all started talking about getting out of the war. By the end of the election, they were running ads on getting out of the war, and they won big.
Yeah.
And you know, we just did something similar with Donna Edwards in Maryland, where she took out a sitting congressman who was totally in the pocket of his contributors and ignored the interests of his constituents. And we've got to do a lot more of that.
Yeah. Bob Borisage with us here just for this segment. If you have a question or comment, dial in right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So one of the issues here, and I told you also off the air that, you know, I gave a D-plus to the Congress, and I want to see them do better. But one of the problems is that the people they've been recruiting to run as Democrats are not mostly progressives. Fully half of the freshman class of 2006 went into the Blue Dog Conservative Democratic Caucus. Is it going to get better this year? Are the recruits who are running for some of those Republican open seats and for the handful of retiring Democrats, are they going to be consistent with our progressive views?
Well, there are some spectacular challengers. You know, Darcy Berner out in Washington has our politics. You probably know her personally.
Yeah, we've talked to her.
Terrific. Uh-huh. So there's a number of those, but you've got a lot of races that are now very close, or where Democrats look like they might win, that are in very red districts, or very conservative districts that have historically been Republican, and the party generally has recruited or allowed to self-recruit pretty conservative Blue Dog Democrats for those districts. So I suspect we're going to gain a number of seats, and I suspect that that the caucus itself will probably be slightly more conservative rather than slightly more progressive as a result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the reality. One of the things that I think, though, people have to always understand the need for independent action. So the Blue Dogs separately raise money from corporations, et cetera, to help recruit more Blue Dog members to run for open seats first.
Mm-hmm.
Not really challenging primaries so much, but to run for open seats as they come open. The DLC, the New Democrats, also funded by Wall Street in this case.
The corporate Democrats,
right,
yeah.
They do the same thing. There really isn't yet a strong organization that goes out early to identify and recruit progressive challengers in these conservative districts to challenge in the primaries, and then to first in open seats and see if in fact a progressive message can win, and then against sitting Democrats if they're in the way. And we've got to build that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob, give me a minute here on energy policy, and is it possible to keep the Democrats from conceding offshore drilling? We know, even from John McCain in his pre-flip-flop position, that you know, offshore drilling will not produce enough oil in a timely manner to affect the price spikes that we feel right now. It's just a pandering mode, yet the Democrats seem powerless to prevent it.
Yeah, it's a pure pander. Bush's own energy department says it makes a difference, 5 cents a gallon 20 years from now. I mean, this is a joke. On the other hand, the polls are showing that about 70% of Americans now think it's a good thing and want whatever. And, you know, drill now, drill here, it sounds very masculine, et cetera.
Yeah.
It has real kind of psychological problems.
Well, and Schweitzer had a good line last night about how we can drill in every one of John McCain's backyards.
Exactly. And so I think, in fact, the retreat on the Democratic side, the rout on the Democratic side is pretty widespread. And you're going to, you know, Pelosi has held out as long as she could. And I think she's going to allow a vote of the stuff, and if she allows a vote on it, Democrats are going to abandon the position. And they'll put limits on it. They'll demand environmental protections, et cetera. They'll keep it, let the states decide and act. Because they don't think it's real. They're just, it's a pander.
Yeah.
And they're going to join the pander.
And the oil companies aren't using all of the leases that they already own.
Yeah. No, the only way to see this is, you know, John McCain proposed this drill now, offshore drilling, as he was headed to Texas for his fundraisers with the oil interests.
Yeah.
Right? And he did very well when he got there with this message.
Yes, he did.
Right?
$1 million.
Now, and the only way to see this is the oil companies at the end of the Bush administration, the big oil administration, making one last grab for what they can get, which is more leases and authority to drill offshore.
Bob Borisage, always great to see you. OurFuture.org is the website. A lot of good information there. You got Rick Perlstein blogging. And
right. David Sirota.
David Sirota. All kinds of
Sarah
action.
Robinson. Yeah,
yeah,
so
check it out.
Come and join the conversation.
All right. Good to see you, Bob. Keep on. We'll take a break and return. We'll schedule to talk with Peter Fenn, a Democratic political consultant, next here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Denver.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Have you noticed that everyone is talking about being green? High-efficiency light bulbs, recycling, sustainable products that are healthy for us and crucial to our environment. Well, check out the new furniture store in town that is totally green. The name is SC41 Furniture, and it's our grand opening. Our mattress systems are designed to feel better, last longer, and sleep deeper. They're made from naturally ecologically healthy components, like high-quality latex that holds its shape and provides extra support. SC41 also offers sustainable furniture that is made in the old-world craftsman style with no harmful chemicals, non-toxic stains, solid wood construction, and formaldehyde-free glues. Sustainable style for the rest of your life. So if you want to better the environment and live healthier without compromising comfort, quality, or beauty, come visit the new store in town, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations.
Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Alan Show live from Denver, Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention. It's wild and it's chaotic, and sometimes our guests can get through security to talk to us. Dr. Jim McDermott, congressman from Seattle, joins us here. Good to see you, doctor.
It's good to be here.
You let me on your couch one time, and I really appreciate it. It was soothing and therapeutic.
I don't know if I did you any good, though.
Well, we talked about a little bit this yesterday, but my listeners haven't heard that recorded interview, so act like all this is fresh, okay?
All right.
But about 11 months ago, after Petraeus and Crocker gave their dog and pony PowerPoint show before the Congress, I talked to you, and I quoted Crocker, and I said, well, the trajectory is up, but the slope is not steep. And that characterization really fits today. They just announced that some troops are going to be pulling out of Anbar province. But I don't really believe that things have gotten that much better in Iraq. I believe we've seen ethnic cleansing. I believe that we have paid off the Sunnis to not shoot Americans. And that if the scoreboard only is reflecting American casualties, well, we've seen some improvement. But the surge did not work. And yet that's the meme that our media pumps out there. What's the real situation in Iraq today?
Well, what do you think it would mean when we win in Iraq? Does it mean we've got soldiers on the ground and none of them are getting killed? Or does it mean a democracy's been established? Or does it mean that we have control of the oil wells? Or what does it mean? What is our goal in Iraq? And they have been so slippery on this issue that it's hard to tell. So, as you say, they have divided up Baghdad by putting up concrete walls 12 feet high, and they divided the Sunni from the Shia. Well, it's really hard to shoot your neighbor over a 12-foot wall, so some of the violence has gone down. But the antipathy toward the occupation has not gone down. The Iraqis are waiting until they figure we're in a situation where they can come after us again, and they will do it. What we did with the Sunnis was we went out and we bought them by paying them $300-$400 a month. Mm-hmm. Since we destroyed the economy, most men didn't have any way to provide for their family. So, hey, you want to be an American shill? Sure, here's $300.
Mm-hmm.
We won't shoot anybody. We'll just stand around and collect our $300. But that doesn't mean that they want this occupation to continue. This is not a stable situation.
It also doesn't mean that they want the Sunni government that we installed.
Oh, absolutely. This, what is really going to happen here is you are going to have a nationalist government with Sunni and Shia in it, and it is ultimately going to throw out the al-Maliki government, which is viewed by most Iraqis as being controlled from Persia.
Yeah.
They feel we gave their country's control to Iran.
Time's limited here. Yesterday, you offered some very powerful information at Progressive Central, the Progressive Democrats of America, and people can get more information at pdamerica.org. But you were talking about this man Sabri, and Ron Suskind's book confirms what you are telling us, which is that he, as the Iraqi foreign minister, told us point blank, told you in September of 2002 in New York, that there were no weapons of mass destruction. And so the evidence is built more and more that the Bush administration knew full well. We know the January 30th meeting with Tony Blair in 2003 when Bush said, well, it's a little thin, but maybe we ought to paint a plane with UN colors and shoot it down. That'll do it. So at what point do we really get serious about these lies and make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Well, I think I have thought all along that Cheney ought to be impeached, and I'm increasingly thinking that Bush ought to be impeached as well. Cheney really ran this government. I mean, there isn't a question in anybody's mind who the President of the United States has been. And my belief is that we have to have accountability, because if we let him go and say, well, you know, he's gone, so forget about it,
yeah,
it will come back again and somebody else will say, Bush got away with it.
Yep.
Why are you after me for telling lies.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that the evidence in Ron Suskind's book, or you read what Vince Bugliosi in his book about the president should be tried as a murderer, I mean, those books are compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think the Congress has got to come to grips with them. And you can't impeach somebody after they're out of office.
Mm-hmm.
You can take away their presidential retirement mm-hmm. and all the things that go with being a president. And I really think we have to go after this guy.
Well, I hope you will continue to fight for that, because I want accountability. It doesn't matter to me if Bush, you know, gets punished directly. But I want to know what occurred. I want full disclosure. And I want David Addington to be fingered as the guy who wrote those signing statements, pushed the torture policies, pushed Cheney's demands for an end to habeas corpus. Because those are things that the American people deserve to know, and we need to set that example that we did not stand for it.
I think you're going to see increasingly more and more evidence come out that's going to make it very hard for the Congress to ignore and walk away from. Somebody's already called for a new church commission
mm-hmm.
because we need to look at what the CAA's done.
Jim McDermott, a pleasure to see you. Thanks for joining us today. Congressman from Seattle on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Denver.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. In theory, a commercial airliner could be destroyed by a terrorist on the ground using a shoulder-mounted heat-seeking missile. But now Northrop Grumman Corporation says it's developed and completed tests on an onboard laser system that will automatically turn such a missile away.
A laser is activated that generates an intense beam of infrared energy that is put right down the seeker of the missile, and it makes the missile make a turn away from the airplane.
Now it's up to the airlines and the government to decide whether to use it. The story after this.
Office Depot is giving you the chance to win a trip for four to Hollywood, to attend a concert benefiting cancer research at City of Hope, starring Miley Cyrus and the Jonas Brothers. You'll also get to meet the artists backstage. Shop at Office Depot for your back-to-school needs. Then take your receipt to www.officedepotsweepstakes.com to enter and get official rules and free entry details. Sweepstakes ends 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time, August 29, 2008. No purchase necessary. Void in Rhode Island where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. residents 13 and older.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things have sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
The Northrop Guardian system has been tested using Federal Express planes. It's an adaptation of a system that's in use now on military aircraft.
It never blinks. It's always looking for a missile. When it sees one, it activates this, and it takes care of it.
Nobody has to do anything, says Northrop Grumman's Jack Pledger.
This all happens in 2 to 3 seconds, and it's all autonomous. No human being is involved in it.
It has to be that way, he says.
These missiles fly at over twice the speed of sound, and they can be fired fairly close to the airplane. So there really isn't time for a human being to get involved, so the system has to be autonomous.
The laser won't hurt anybody.
It's not a destructive laser. It's a lot like the laser your dentist uses to whiten your teeth.
The company says the price of the Guardian system is going to depend on how many are bought. But in any case, it is relatively cheap, they say, under $1 million. Heat-seeking shoulder-fired missiles have a range of 2 to 3 miles and can hit airplanes at altitudes up to 15,000 feet.
During that time, they're down within this threat envelope. This system is activated, and it can protect them from those threats.
Whether they will be mounted on commercial planes and how soon and who will pay for it is not automatic. The airlines and the government have some deciding to do. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Change we can believe in. Is it just a clever campaign slogan or a clarion call to move America past the blunders of the Bush era? Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, more exclusive coverage with Peter B. Collins.
Peter B. Collins Show is on the road again, this time in the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado, enjoying the Democratic National Convention and the organized chaos here along Radio Row. Our coverage is sponsored by the law firm of Lawrence Strick, and we thank them for their support. And you can visit their website for more information at stricklaw.com, S-T-R-I-C-K. Not strict, but just strick, stricklaw.com. And thanks, too, to all the listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show who helped chip in to cover some of our travel expenses. No corporate sponsors here. I owe my listeners, not, say, AT&T. Peter Fenn joins me now. He's a Washington-based political consultant. He's been in the game for years. How are you, Peter?
I'm great. Great to be with you in this controlled or uncontrolled chaos, Peter. Pretty wild out here.
It is interesting. Now, the roll call of the states is underway right now, and Susie Turnbull just popped in to tell us that somebody's yielding to Illinois. That would be for the purpose of putting Barack Obama over the top, presumably.
I would certainly think so, and then they'll do it by acclamation. You won't see all 50 states going down. That'll take a long time. That would prevent our speakers of the evening, I think, from getting started and getting moving. And
well, I think Joe Biden should actually get started right now if they want him to finish before midnight in the East.
I think he's going to cap off the evening, is my guess.
And, right. That's the agenda.
Yes, George McGovern joked often about 1972, that great convention where he ended up getting up at 2:30 in the morning to give his convention speech or whatever the heck time it was. So if this is uncontrolled, if this was controlled chaos, I guess that was uncontrolled chaos.
Now, I'm a little disappointed because I'm not a Hillary supporter, all right? But I do believe that it's very important to address her supporters to make sure that they feel fully included in this process that leads to her demurral to Barack Obama. And so I was pleased that they permitted her name to be entered into nomination and that they were going to permit at least, most of a roll call vote. But why did they take it out of prime time? If only because many people I know love the roll call. They love to hear the voice from the Tar Heels and, all the little states, state imaging that people present.
I tell you, Peter, I don't, two reasons. First, the real reason, of course, is because they want to have Bill Clinton and Joe Biden in prime time. But I'll tell you the other thing, and this is the cynic in me. We are both holding these microphones right now. Well, when you are a state delegation leader and you get that microphone and you're in prime time and you're talking about the great state of Kansas, well, you could talk a lot about the great state of Kansas,
right,
which would slow up this whole process. And, American people don't like to hear all that stuff either.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. I've been watching conventions since I was a kid. And so, if for me, it's part of the ritual.
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoy it. And we know, you know, what the outcome is going to be, or at least, you know, there was no real floor fight, so there aren't any drama or surprises here. But I just kind of like to see it all play out.
Well, I think I understand that, too. And I tell you, the first convention I ever really watched in earnest was when I was a young boy. My father was a delegate at the convention in Los Angeles, 1960, a Kennedy delegate.
Yeah.
And I was glued to that black and white TV then. First convention I ever attended, I was a page in 1964 at the convention in Atlantic City that renominated at that time, of course, Lyndon Johnson, and Hubert Humphrey was chosen as vice president.
My oldest brother was a page at that convention.
Well, we may have stood on the chairs and cheered for 28 minutes as Robert Kennedy was introduced at that convention.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. There is a history of that. And, they used to be covered, of course, on the major news media all evening long.
Gavel to gavel.
And now we get these hour-long snippets, unless you watch cable.
Right. Katie Couric wasn't too busy last night. She kind of waltzed out in the press corridor there in the bowels of this building, and her off-the-cuff remark to a companion was, "I shouldn't have eaten that Mexican food."
She heard that stomach gurgling during the business. We've all been there, done that.
You were about to say something.
Of course.
Maybe you remember.
Probably not. So.
Well, Peter, tell me what your sense is of the attacks that are being readied by the Republican machinery. This guy, Steve Schmidt, is a take-no-prisoners fellow, trained by Karl Rove, and we know that they will attack the strengths of Obama and Biden. And will the Democrats fight back appropriately? And I understand Obama wants to change the tone, doesn't want to be completely negative, but we cannot let the mud stain them on a long-term basis.
You're absolutely right. I mean, if you look at the campaigns that we have lost, there are those campaigns where we haven't fought back, where we haven't pointed up the differences really between the two candidates. 2000, Al Gore, you know, give me a break, you know, love story, love canal, inventing the internet. It was, a personal kind of crazy character at that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Swift boat is too close in our memory
for
John Kerry. And then you go all the way back to 1988 with the ads against Michael Dukakis and the
Willie Horton
racist ads. It was pathetic. And I tell you, one of the things that really bothers me is that our politics has gone down into character assassination.
Right.
I don't mind good stuff.
So is Paris Hilton going to decide the election?
Right, exactly. I mean, how absurd is this? But I think we have to call it. I think we have to go right back.
All right, so how do we counter the POW card? There on the Tonight Show two nights ago, he's asked how many houses he has, and he says, well, I didn't have a house while I was in Hanoi.
You know something, Peter? I firmly believe that the American people get this.
Yeah?
That every answer to every question is not, I'm a hero, I was in a prisoner of war camp.
Mm-hmm.
They know. And I think that will destroy, he'll destroy himself.
Mm-hmm.
If he continues with this, because that doesn't sell.
Yeah.
As Bill Clinton would have said years ago, that dog don't hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we've got to do is to say, listen, the John McCain of 2000 would not vote for the John McCain of 2008.
Yeah.
He was the John McCain.
But the agents of intolerance might.
And you're right. I mean, when he made that speech, he also said something else which people don't talk about. He said, candidates and parties that pander to get votes. I'm never going to be that kind of candidate.
Mm-hmm.
He has since pandered to the donors for George Bush. He has pandered to the tax cuts that he initially opposed. He's pandered to the where did he announce offshore drilling? He announced it in Houston before oil executives.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me? Yeah. That is not pandering?
Right.
I mean, this guy who is supposed to be the maverick, he is no maverick.
Peter Fenn, thank you very much. I know you got to go get ready for a TV appearance. Don't let him use the orange makeup, okay?
I'll try not to.
Okay.
Thanks, Peter
Fenn. Which network are you going to be on? My listeners can check you out.
Some MSNBC stuff, and they're taping some other segments for tonight's shows.
All right. Work on your Chris Matthews.
Ha! Yeah, I'll try not to interrupt too much.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter Fenn, thanks for joining us here. Musical chairs now as Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat from Los Angeles, joins us. Congressman, welcome. Thank you. It's great to join you. You're on the air in California and Oregon and on the internets all over the world.
Fabulous.
Costa Rica, too.
Excellent.
Can you say mucho gusto?
I can say mucho gusto, and hello to all my friends in Costa Rica.
Good. I wanted to ask you, because I did a little research, and you in 2007 were co-sponsor of the NSA Oversight Act. And that included a number of elements that I felt good about, because I do understand that some of the eavesdropping and spying that we're doing does protect Americans. But we're right here in Denver, where Quest Communications is headquartered. Quest got a request for wiretaps in February of 2001. It had nothing to do with 9/11. And the immunity that you approved when you changed your position and voted for the FISA amendments means that we'll never find out why the Bush administration asked for wiretapping of local switches, by the way. That's what the Quest request was for, way before 9/11. And all of this is couched, as it's sold to the American people, is that we've got to spy on you to keep you safe. And it just doesn't add up, Congressman. So I'd like you to take a couple of minutes and explain your evolution, because I supported your position in 2007, and I'm disappointed with your vote in the summer of 2008.
No, I'd be happy to, because I disagree with a lot of the premise of your question. There were, I think, a couple very important issues in terms of the FISA debate. And as you may know, if you've been following this for the last several years, I fought for provision in the law, which we got in this bill, to declare and ensure that FISA was the sole authority for surveillance of Americans on American soil. That was not the Bush administration's policy or practice.
But it is the original 78 law. You really just restated that.
We restated it, but we put teeth in it. And more than that, we went beyond that.
Okay, but the 78 law had criminal penalties.
You asked me a question. Let me answer it.
Okay.
We went beyond that. We also extended that to require FISA court supervision when the surveillance of Americans overseas. Now, that goes back even pre-Bush administration. So in that respect, in Title I of the FISA bill, we improved upon pre-existing law, and I think that was very important. There were other aspects of the bill, too.
Okay, but before you move on, can we talk about FISA as the controlling statute?
Yes.
Because that is in the 78 law. It was bulldozed by the Bush administration, and through immunity, there can be no prosecutions of their intentional lawbreaking.
That's where you're wrong. And
explain.
I think this is a very popular misconception. Many people have the view that there's no way to hold the Bush administration accountable unless there's private litigation that goes forward. I don't agree with that premise, and I'm frankly not sure where that came from, but it has gotten a lot of popular currency. That, I think, is a cop-out. We have all the power of subpoena. We have all the power of compulsion in the Congress that any private litigant has. The only thing that will prevent us from getting to the bottom of what the administration did or holding it accountable is ourselves in the Congress if we lack the will to do it. I have been pressing for us to do exactly that, to find out exactly how the Bush administration used the tools that it had to determine whether they violated the law and to hold people accountable. And frankly, I think it's a cop-out to say that it can only be done through private litigation. Now, I felt, and obviously you disagree, I felt that it was so important to enshrine these protections in Title I into law, which we couldn't do unless we got a vote that we could get passed and signed into law. I was willing to accept that bundled with a Title II provision on the immunity issue that I didn't like. It wasn't the provision that I was urging in our caucus. I had a different approach I wanted to take to the telecom immunity issue. But they didn't write the bill that I would like and have written. But, as is often the case, you have to take it all or leave it all. And what you would have left on the table, I was unwilling to leave on the table, and that is the protections that I thought American citizens needed going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear you. Returning to the FISA law from 1978, and it as the controlling force, it included criminal penalties. The Congress has not provided the oversight that we've been looking for. There will be, at least based on what we know now, no attempt to impose criminal penalties on the intentional violation of the 1978 FISA law. And Senator Feinstein and Senator Rockefeller have gone out of their way to try to paper over this lawbreaking. And I believe the FISA law is so generous in terms of granting warrants when they are needed that this is a real incursion into my Fourth Amendment right to probable cause. Well, I think the FISA court has done a very admirable job, and that where the government can make the case, and in 99.9% of the times, I'm sure they do, they get the warrants that they need, which is why I fought for several years to make sure that the words in the original 78 Act were, in fact, given all their lawful effect, that they were the exclusive means of electronic surveillance outside of the criminal context in Title 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you, and I think we should hold the administration accountable. And I don't think, though, it's just FISA that we're talking about. And I think there are problems with the presidential signing statements. I think there are problems with the interrogation practices.
We agree.
That have been employed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've been calling for, because I think we need really a systemic review of the Bush administration's conduct, is I would like to see us establish a church committee, a church commission, that would look at what's taken place during this administration and go beyond this administration,
mm-hmm.
go back and, you know, let the chips fall where they may, analyze what our government's been doing and how it's gotten to the point that it has.
Okay, I think it has to.
I think it has to be bipartisan, though.
Mm-hmm.
The Church Commission was bipartisan. I think this has to be bipartisan as well.
And, Congressman, we're almost out of time, but just as a follow-up to one of my initial points, Quest got a request from the government for secret wiretaps on local switches in February of 2001. Why? Are you curious about that? Don't the American people deserve to know why?
Well, I think the American people do need to know that when they're law-abiding, that their privacy is respected. And frankly, one of the solutions that I was, one of the things I was arguing for in that Title II section in terms of the telecoms is that there be a more adversarial proceeding at which you had a credible party representing the privacy interests of the American people that could make the case to either the district court or the FISA court if there were confidentiality problems with pursuing this in the district court or we couldn't get enough support to pass it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have someone that had the credibility to do that. I think in the alternative, since we haven't taken that approach, that a church commission could exactly have that function.
All right. Thank you very much, Congressman. Great to talk with
you.
Thanks for a spirited debate.
You bet.
And please return my Fourth Amendment rights.
You got it.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Congressman Adam Schiff from Los Angeles here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Democratic National Convention. We'll continue.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA.
Ha! Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service. Or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Now, it's the Peter B. Collins Show live from the Democratic National Convention Radio Row in Denver. And our man Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com has just raced into Radio Row here with a report from the floor. It's official.
It's official. Hillary Clinton, during the roll call, Hillary Clinton took the mic for the state of New York and called on them to suspend the roll call and to nominate Barack Obama by proclamation.
Acclamation.
Acclamation. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Acclamation?
Yeah, that's where just everybody says, okay.
I nominate him by proclamation.
Okay.
I'm doing that myself.
Any floor fight? Anybody attempt a motion to avoid the suspension?
Not that I noticed. It only happened moments ago.
Yeah.
So there were concerns about a floor fight, so they had moved that the roll call a little bit earlier.
Yes, they did. Out of prime time.
Looks like out of prime time. At the last second, mind you, just today.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like everyone has behaved themselves, and there seems to be unity, at least for the moment, within the Democratic Party.
So the infomercial is rolling as planned.
Everything moves forward as planned, exactly.
Brad, thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you, brother.
That. Keep live
up.
Update.
Happy to help.
And it's good to have you here in Denver. And catch his updates at BradBlog.com, including the footage of Joe Biden practicing his run-through late last night. Well, joining me now is Tony Massaro, who is the Senior Vice President of Political Affairs and Public Education at the League of Conservation Voters. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you very much, Peter. Glad to be here.
Good to have you with us. And do you have one of those SUVs with the special Colorado DNC plates assigned to squire you around Denver?
I don't. I get around by foot and by public transit.
Nobody offered me one of those either. But isn't it a little bizarre to see all these? And there are some Tahoe hybrids. They get 21 miles to the gallon, mm-hmm. As opposed to the 14 on the conventional big box SUVs that they're using. But don't you think there's an image issue there? Shouldn't we have seen a few, Priuses and other hybrids here to show their attention to the energy issues and the need?
Well, I think we're seeing some of those, but and some natural gas-powered buses and things like that.
I saw the clean coal bus. I don't know what it's running on.
I don't know what it's running on either. And everybody's seen that bus. Seemingly.
Maybe the hot air from T. Boone Pickens is powering that.
That could be. A lot of the vehicles that you're talking about are run by the Secret Service and others, and we don't criticize the Secret Service for their choice of vehicles, period.
Well, they might take action.
Yeah. Like, I try to not pick fights with people who carry guns.
Yeah, that's good. Let's talk about energy policy overall.
Right.
Because Barack Obama, I think, has a thoughtful and pretty broad plan to try to stress the development of renewable energy sources, to also try to wean us not only from foreign oil, but from oil, in general.
Yes.
And it's been trivialized by John McCain as, he just says to make sure your tire pressure is up to the recommended level. How do you characterize Obama's energy plans?
Well, we characterize it as the most aggressive energy policy that has ever been put forward by a presidential candidate for all the things that you just said. And because what he's trying to do is an energy policy that will create millions of new jobs in America, will move us toward a renewable energy future, and for us, all of us on the planet, will help address global warming. And the difference between his and John McCain's is John McCain talks about global warming, but if you actually implement his policies, global warming gets a lot more severe. And that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people try to play that, well, at least McCain isn't in denial like Bush.
Well, that's right. Well, Bush has gotten a little bit out of denial. denial in his public statements. So they're starting to look
by 2050, he's going to actually think it's a serious problem.
I think that's right. You know, John McCain deserves a lot of credit for that, and we give it to him. He's been introducing legislation since 2003 to address global warming, and he deserves commendation for that and recognition for that. And he is way ahead of most of his members of the Republican Party, and that's part of the problem. And if you look at their platform that they're going through right now, they don't call for the cap and trade that McCain has called for. They intentionally ignore that. They say that we can't succumb to the radical environmentalism and the radical no-growthers of the Democratic Party plan. Mm-hmm. So there's a big difference between the two parties on this issue.
Now, Tony, there's a lot of attention on the, you know, tops of the tickets, and I understand that. But what is your estimation of the potential for a greener House of Representatives membership and a greener Senate? Because the Senate is the critical area where all of the key legislation, you know, like these energy bills that offer tax breaks for the oil companies but don't fund renewable resources.
That's a great question, Peter, because even if we have a president who wants to move an energy agenda that's going to address global warming, we need 60 votes in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get a greener House, I don't doubt that. We'll get a greener Senate, I don't doubt that. The question is, are we going to get 60 votes to break filibuster? And we got to elect a lot of really good people, including Mark Udall from the state of Colorado, where we're at.
Right. We've got a Udall in New Mexico who's got a shot at it, too.
We do, and he's another key one that we're working hard to get elected. And it's important that people know that we talk about a pro-conservation Senate, not a Democratic Senate,
mm-hmm.
because there are a number of Republicans who vote with us to break filibuster, and there are a number of Democrats who do not.
That's right.
And so it's not, you know, a straight
Mary Landrieu, can you hear me?
That would be number one, and we, in fact, have put her on our Dirty Dozen this year.
Blanche Lincoln, you're in there, too.
I
can't believe it sometimes when I see the vote tallies come through.
That's
Tony,
right.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your work.
Peter.
Nice
appreciate
to talk with you today.
Time.
League of Conservation Voters on the web at lcv.org. We've been talking with Tony Massaro. Coming up next, more. And we don't know who it'll be, but more. From the Democratic National Convention in Denver, brought to you in part by the Strick Law Firm, on the web at stricklaw.com. We'll continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Green 960's live coverage of the Democratic National Convention is sponsored by Strick Law Office. This is Peter B. Collins inviting you to catch the live stream this week 3 to 6 p.m. at green960.com. The Strick Law Office in San Rafael represents people like you who've been hurt through the fault of another. An auto accident, medical malpractice, workplace injury, products, drugs. Larry Strick was named a finalist as Street Fighter of the Year in 2007 by the Consumer Attorneys of California, and he's ready to fight for you. Visit his website at stricklaw.com and find out more about their services. Call toll-free 888-529-0909. That's stricklaw.com, 888-529-0909. When you're represented by the Strick Law Office, you have the confidence that one of the Bay Area's most able attorneys is representing your interests. There's no fee for initial consultation. Call 888-529-0909.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Barack Obama gets the Democratic nomination by acclamation.
Let's declare together in one voice, right here, right now.
Gustav could go just about anywhere in the Gulf, including New Orleans.
Everybody should be looking at their plans just like we're looking at our plans and get ready.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. History happens at the Democrats' convention. Barack Obama's nomination is assured. Live now from Denver, CBS's Dan Revive.
Here in the convention hall, Barack Obama has officially won the battle. And Harley, you like drama? Hillary Clinton came onto the convention hall less than 20 minutes ago with a broad smile. Her state, New York, voted to clinch it for Clinton's former rival.
In the spirit of unity, with the goal of victory, with faith in our party and our country, let's declare together in one voice, right here, right now that Barack Obama is our candidate and he will be our president.
Yes, Hillary Clinton herself moved to end the state-by-state roll call.
I move that the convention suspend the procedural rules and suspend the further conduct of the roll call vote. All votes cast by the delegates will be counted, and that I move Senator Barack Obama of Illinois be selected by this convention by acclamation as the nominee of the Democratic Party.
The convention agreed, and a voice vote seemed unanimous. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer, you're on the floor among more than 4,000 delegates.
Dan, Hillary Clinton's action is the ultimate personal gesture of political reconciliation here. This convention hall erupted in cheers of yes, we can. Senator Clinton entered the hall to backslapping, hugs, and kisses. This all followed a carefully negotiated and choreographed deal between the Obama and Clinton people. Obama's home state of Illinois passed when it was its turn in the roll call, putting the full spotlight on Hillary Clinton's dramatic announcement, Dan.
CBS's Peter Mayer. So for the first time, one of the two major political parties has nominated an African-American as candidate for the White House. After former President Bill Clinton speaks about 2 hours from now, and then running mate Senator Joe Biden, Obama might appear briefly here in the convention hall. His big speech in the nearby football stadium will be tomorrow. I'm Dan Raviv in the convention hall. Now CBS's Barry Bagnato outside watching the environment.
It's the greenest convention in history with alternative energy, biodegradable balloons, and a goal of keeping 85% or more of the waste out of landfills. The trash is being hand-sorted by green T-shirted volunteers with latex gloves. One of them, Christina Strickland, is impressed.
Actually, I haven't really been introduced to the compost until this thing, so this has worked out real well.
Around the grounds, you see flex fuel vehicles powered with biofuel made from beer waste. And in those places where generators are absolutely needed, such as this site, the goal is to power them with 20% biofuel. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, at the Democratic National Convention, Denver.
And now this.
We'd been mattress shopping all day, and he bet me that I'd love the very next bed we tried.
Was I right?
You cheated. He took me to the Select Comfort Store to try his Sleep Number bed.
But was I right?
Come on. I adjusted my side to the sleep number that felt best. That's the whole idea.
And you?
Loved it.
See, I was right. I want to remember this. I'm not right very often.
He's right about that.
Join the over 5 million people who've discovered the personalized comfort of a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my Sleep Number bed.
I knew you would.
I know you knew I would.
Right now, during our biggest sale of the year, every Sleep Number bed is on sale with instant cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 full years on approved credit. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for a Select Comfort store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day.
Gustav is likely to rebuild tonight to a hurricane. Computers say he could go anywhere, from Florida to Texas. The folks who live in New Orleans, like those in Key West and Corpus Christi, are all of the same mind.
Go the other way, Gustav.
For sure, oil prices took an uptick today due to fears of where Hurricane Gustav might go. The prices went up about almost $2 to almost, well, more than $118 a barrel. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Don't miss Lowe's Big Labor Day event, where you can get 10% off major appliances priced at $397 and above. Get $5 off 1 gallon or $20 off 5 gallon qualifying Valspar paint via mail-in rebate. And get 12 months special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Not to mention new lower prices throughout the store. So come to Lowe's this Labor Day weekend. Lowe's, let's build something together. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Credit offer available August 28th through September 1st.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 30% too. From August 28th through September 1st, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. Save up to 30% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paints, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We'll be right back.
As the Democrats convene in Denver, big questions are on the table. When will our troops come home? When will we get our constitutional rights back? When will we have universal health care? Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter B. Collins, looking for the answer.
Yes, we're looking for the answers, left, right, under the escalator, and behind the behind that black curtain, too. There is some excitement building here at the Democratic National Convention in Denver just in the last half hour. The roll call vote of the states was underway when a shift occurred. And we have Mike Wilson here, a delegate from Florida, to help us with the narrative. Mike, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, I was a little disappointed. I'm not a Hillary supporter, but I wanted to give full respect to the Clinton supporters, you know, the representatives of 18 million people, more or less, who voted for the senator in the primaries. Were you disappointed that the nominations and roll call were moved into the afternoon and out of primetime television view?
To be honest, that's a little above my pay grade.
Oh, right? Come on. Everybody's got an opinion.
In Hillary's campaign, I'm just your average guy that was invited to speak for, and nominate Senator Obama for this occasion. Senator, in my opinion, Senator Clinton's campaign was absolutely fantastic. They ran a tough race. It was wonderful to see her run, and I can't say enough how impressed I was by the efforts that they put forth. Their decisions to make changes, there's been changes they've made all throughout this election, you know, whether it's to whether or not Florida was going to be counted in the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many votes they were going to actually count. It's been interesting to see. So I'm not.
All right, I won't pin you down then, Mike. I can understand you. I get an evasion. But, you know, I just really think that this is something that should have played out in prime time because it's so important. There's so many disaffected Clinton supporters who, are, at least as of today, may have one foot on the Obama train, but not both.
Well, I mean, you almost have to ask yourself, what do you want? What are they expecting as a result of this? Yes, you ran a fantastic campaign. Yes, you were passionate supporters, and you made your best effort.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't win. And sometimes you have to accept that. We did not win.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're faced with a decision. Do you vote for someone who does not represent your best interest, which Hillary and Senator Obama were so close on the issues? So now you're going to vote for someone who does not represent change, mm-hmm. who represents the old guard. And basically you're going to cut off your nose to slide. You're going to vote the other way simply out of spite.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I can appreciate and I can understand their disappointment and their frustration. But at some point, it would seem to me that you would have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that they're able to do that and vote beyond their anger and their disappointment and vote for what is best for the country.
Yeah. Now tell us about the feelings in the Florida delegation. I'm one of those people who said, well, you know, whatever they were, the rules were set before the primaries started, and so we got to live with those rules. You can't change them in the middle of the contest. What is the level now that the full voting power of a Florida delegate like you was returned?
Well, there may have been some confusion because technically I am not a Florida delegate.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I was invited to nominate Senator Obama as an Iraqi veteran,
mm-hmm.
and I guess the fact that I am a registered Republican.
I see.
That's what I think is what got me here. So mm-hmm. I apologize for any miscommunication.
No, it's because I only got 30 seconds of briefing before you sat down, so
okay.
I apologize.
No,
I'm the one misinformed.
No,
so then you were at the podium, and you, because see, we're down here,
right.
We don't even
you
have
guys,
a good TV screen.
So you
were the one who was chosen to give the first nominating speech or the second?
First nominating speech.
Wow.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. As a guy from a small town in Tennessee and relatively small, and now living in a relatively small town in Florida, that is quite an honor
yeah.
to be chosen for that.
Well, I'm going to watch it on the replay later tonight, and I'll be looking forward to that. Were you nervous?
Definitely. I was definitely nervous, but the staff here, they've been absolutely fantastic. You know, everybody from making sure that those that made sure that I got to the hotel on time to making sure that I didn't mm-hmm. Trip over my own feet going to the podium. No, everybody has made this as fun and as low stress of an environment as they possibly can.
Great. Mike Wilson, thank you for joining us, and thanks for straightening me out.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And you're the finest Republican I've met here at the Democratic National Convention.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
It was a pleasure.
Good to see you. Joining us now is one of my favorite members of the House of Representatives, the leader of impeachment and accountability for this wayward administration, Dennis Kucinich. Hello, sir.
It's great to be with you.
How are you?
Really good.
Yeah? Well, before I start peppering you with questions, your observations on this scene here, and do you support the way the roll call was moved into the afternoon and out of prime time?
The Democrats are striving to send a message to America that we're putting aside our differences and we are uniting for the greater good. The greater good involves an awareness that we cannot afford another 4 years of Republican economics, which has driven us into a recession and could drive the United States to the point of becoming less than a world power because of the massive debt, because of the empire building, because of more war, because of the trade deficit. You know, we're going in the wrong direction. So, yes, the Democrats uniting is very important for this country and the differences that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We can postpone them for a few months.
But you have not postponed your efforts to press forward with true Judiciary Committee hearings on the articles of impeachment. First, the 35 batch and then the single article that you subsequently introduced. What's the status on that process, Dennis?
Well, as we speak, there are people going to our website at Kucinich.us and actually signing an impeachment petition that we have at that website and also urging others to do it. I was able to submit to the Congress just before we took a break 100,000 signatures in support of impeachment. Now, that's just from one humble website.
Mm-hmm.
There is a real desire for accountability. I want to go back to Congress after the break's over, and on September 10th, September 11th being the day the world changed, to make September 10th the day we change the world by demanding more accountability by submitting hundreds of thousands of more signatures. So people, this is still in process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people want accountability, and I'm not backing down on that. I think that if we believe in our Constitution, if we believe in the rule of law, if we believe that the highest person in the highest office has to be as accountable to the law as the citizen from the lowest station, then we must support an inquiry into the conduct of a president, especially when we already know that there was no basis to go to war against Iraq, that Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction, that Iraq was not a threat to the United States. Yet there have been over 1 million innocent Iraqis who have perished in this war. And our American soldiers, you know, now over 4,000 American soldiers have died and tens of thousands injured. The cost of the war will be $3 trillion. You can't just be George Bush and say, well, gee, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Doesn't cut it. You can't, if it was a mistake, he should be impeached.
Your colleague Jim McDermott was here an hour ago, and he mentioned that you can continue or you can press impeachment even after Bush and Cheney leave office. The effect would be to deny them their retirement benefits or something along those lines.
Well, to deny them any place of honor or privilege in the United States. I mean, it's in here in the Constitution that I'm showing you.
He just pulled it out of his pocket.
Yeah, and I carry this as a reference because there's impeachments mentioned by reference 7 different times in this Constitution. The founders felt that it was very important for an executive to have some kind of a restraint upon that executive. Congress is supposed to be a co-equal branch of government. In some cases, Congress has superior roles to the president. And yet what's happened with an imperial presidency, American empire building has continued. We now have 737 military bases in 130 countries. We're talking about a war that's going to cost $3 trillion, and we're talking about a potential war against Iran. We must stop the direction we're going in and create a correction, which impeachment was put in the Constitution to do.
Mm-hmm.
The founders never countenanced an imperial presidency. George Washington could have become a king, but he understood
mm-hmm.
that was not the historical direction that would have preserved, you know, that's not what the American Revolution was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I'm continuing my efforts. For those who are listening, go to Kucinich.us, sign the impeachment petition, get others to do that. I'll make sure that Congress, that your support for that is registered with the Congress, and after this election is over, you know, the leader of the Congress said, well, she's not going to really do anything about impeachment. After this election is over, after the president leaves office, we are going to continue
mm-hmm.
our efforts towards accountability. We must have accountability.
Dennis Kucinich, at the table next to us is one of my current heroes. That's Don Siegelman, the former Democratic governor of Alabama. He was railroaded into federal prison behind tainted U.S. attorneys connected to Karl Rove. Phony prosecution. The first case ended in a mistrial, and they immediately refiled on very, very flimsy charges before a compromised court. And he has been fighting to not only clear his name, but to support your efforts to show the politicization of the Justice Department and the real implications of it. It wasn't just, you know, a couple of voter fraud cases in New Mexico. He's a real-life victim of this administration.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Governor Siegelman is an example of what happens when you don't have a system of checks and balances. The politicization of the Justice Department has destroyed American confidence in government. If a president isn't accountable, then why would he worry about using the Justice Department for political purposes, to go after his political enemies or to enhance the position of his political party in the upcoming election using the Justice Department? We saw how the Justice Department was tainted, how attorneys general were, or people who work for the attorney general, district attorneys, were told that they had to prosecute some things, and they didn't want to do it. They lost their jobs. How many kept their jobs by engaging in surreptitious prosecution? We're losing our country to war based on lies, to destruction of our civil liberties, and to fixing the justice system according to political designs. So this is a time for us to hold this administration accountable, not only for the war, not only for destruction of civil liberties, but for the efforts that they've made to use the Justice Department to be able to go after their political enemies. This is what Richard Nixon did.
Yep.
He used the IRS to go after people. Nixon had an enemies list. This administration has used the Justice Department to go after people they don't like.
Right.
And this is a time when this election cannot only be about the election of a Democratic president. This election must be about making a new start, reclaiming the rule of law, reclaiming Congress's role as a co-equal branch of government, reclaiming this Constitution that I'm waving right now.
Including our compromised Fourth Amendment rights. And you spoke up very powerfully, Dennis Kucinich, almost right before the Speaker gave her closing remarks in the FISA debate. And I thank you for representing my interests.
Well, I said it yesterday when I spoke on the floor of this convention, about how this administration, you know, can open our mail, they can tap our phones, they can follow our every move. But there's a lot of things they're not able to do. When we look at the Fourth Amendment that you just talked about, it says that, you know, we have to be free in our persons from unreasonable, and our effects from unreasonable search and seizure.
And requires probable cause and a court order.
Well, that's all been destroyed. The Patriot Act knocked that down, and this administration has taken many steps to change the role of the Justice Department and to also use corporations to be able to go ahead and violate people's rights.
Yeah.
I mean, what Congress did in giving telecommunication companies an exemption for violating privacy rights, I think is...
It was the amnesty they wouldn't give to non-citizens.
Well, that's true, but it goes beyond that. It is moving, it's the marriage of corporate America and a government to conspire to violate people's civil liberties. That's a very dangerous thing.
Dennis Kucinich, thank you for fighting. Keep at it.
I'll keep at it.
Great to see you here.
Go to Kucinich.us. Thanks again.
Yeah, sign that petition.
Thanks again.
Kucinich.us. We'll take a break and return here in Denver at the Democratic National Convention. I'm Peter B. Collins. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer.
The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Find out what Wall Street isn't telling you and find out how to safeguard your shrinking dollar and hedge against inflation with gold. Did you know that gold has gained for the past 6 straight years? Get an education now by tuning in to The Gold Show with Jonathan Rose, Monday through Thursday night at 8, or call us at 1-800-510-9594 and rediscover the 21st century gold rush right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Off to a pretty quiet start here. Watsonville, an accident. Harrington Road at Seal Road. Dump truck and a car mixed it up that may be blocking lanes. A tow truck is on the way. Also in Watsonville, 129 and Highway 1, we have a broken down big rig with a trailer that's blocking the left-hand lane there. And down in King City, South 101 before Central Avenue, it's a big rig broken down and partially blocking one of the lanes. CHP is on the scene. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains currently checks in, stalling, accident-free. Highway 68, we have nothing to tell you about right now. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars have been fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Denver, Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention. And joining me is a man who I consider a real contemporary American hero, Don Siegelman, the former Democratic governor of Alabama. He won 4 times statewide until his last reelection was taken away from him. The vote was shifted overnight. Don Siegelman, it's a real pleasure to meet you.
Oh, it's my pleasure to meet you. And I want to say thanks to you and your listeners who have joined in this fight to hold Karl Rove in contempt. To get in a little plug, the fight's not over. It's not time to celebrate. The House voted and recommended the contempt charges, but the full House of Representatives must vote when they get back from recess or it means nothing.
And the Speaker has kind of waffled on this. Well, she said she was going to think about it and decide in September.
Well, I want the members of Congress to hear from your listeners, and y'all need to let your members of Congress know that you know, we don't want two standards of justice. justices in this country, one for the powerful connected to the White House, and another standard for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Rove must be held in contempt in order to send a message that this kind of un-American behavior of using the Department of Justice as a political weapon is simply not going to be tolerated in this country.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to happen again.
And my listeners are familiar with your story, not only the stolen election, but two attempts to convict you. The second one was successful before a compromised judge with a lot of phony evidence. And then they wouldn't give you the transcript, so you had to go to prison until those were ready, and then you could file an appeal, and that's when you were released earlier this year. And throughout this, we've been aware of this from Larissa Alexandrovna's reporting starting 9 months or so ago. And I just want you to know there are many people out there who identify with you and who want the truth to come out. And we want to know the connection between Karl Rove and Laura Canary, the wife of Karl's political partner, Bill Canary, who was a United States attorney and the first to press charges against you. And then this Alice Martin, who did the second step of the do-si-do.
Yeah, I was prosecuted for something that has never been a crime, according to the New York Times. And according to a Republican attorney general in Arizona, I was targeted because they couldn't beat me fair and square.
Mm-hmm.
My sentence was enhanced because I spoke out about the political nature of the crime. I was shackled, handcuffed, taken to a maximum security prison, put in solitary confinement until I served a total of 9 months. But fortunately, 54 state attorneys general came to my rescue saying mm-hmm. that what I did wasn't a crime, and my sentence was illegally enhanced because the First Amendment protects my right to speak about these issues.
And people can get more information. The website is donsiegelman.com, right?
Donsiegelman.org or donsiegelman.com. And if you please send a message to your congressman by going to www.contemptforrove.com. Contempt for Rove. If you have contempt for Karl Rove, go to www.contemptforrove.com and let your congressman know you want to vote on this issue.
Well, this has been too brief, but it's a real honor to meet you, and I hope you will continue this struggle for yourself and for us.
Thank you so much.
All right, Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return. Paul Waldman from Media Matters is scheduled to join us next, and you can call in with your questions or comments toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, especially if you want to talk about media coverage of the convention. I haven't seen much. You've probably seen more than I have, so let me know your comments, 888-573-8372. You can share a podcast of this program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
As they say in politics, it ain't over, even when it's over. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network from the convention in Denver.
You're convinced?
Oh, 100%, and I'm a Hillary Clinton delegate. She said to us, we're going to unite and we're going to vote Obama. And we're doing exactly what Hillary says.
And there was a particular line that seemed to do the trick.
Were you in this campaign just for me? Or were you in it for that young Marine and others like him?
The head understands, but the heart can be reluctant.
I worked in many, many states campaigning for her. She did what she needed to do.
Meantime, over on the Obama side,
it was not very emphatic. I was really disappointed.
Not very emphatic?
Let's elect Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
And the sound was not very good, but it sounded like she was whispering.
Whispering? How much louder can the woman yell? No, there must be something else. Something else people thought was missing.
She could have apologized for saying all the bad things that she said.
McCain is using her political strategy against Obama because she did it. Because she brought it out, it makes it credible. He has a commercial out with her saying Obama is negative, all this crazy stuff. And McCain's using it.
So an apology, huh?
I think that would be hot.
That would be great. I would be fully convinced if she did that.
Yeah, and guys, that is one speech you are never going to hear. Now this.
If you ride a motorcycle, you might be thinking, oi, GEICO customers seem to be having a lot of fun and saving money on their car insurance. But what about us bikers? Why can't we save money? This makes us angry. Let's form a biker gang and go and tell them what for. Oi, hold on, just call it. GEICO insures all sorts of motorcycles like cruisers, street, sport, touring and high performance bikes. So they're on it. Now let's have a little smile.
Now GEICO offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including motorcycles. Call 1-800-44-CYCLE or visit GEICO.com.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
The Democrats are hoping for big victories in November, winning the White House and expanding the majorities in Congress. Will the progressive views and voices that jump-started these campaigns have a vital role in Democratic rule? That's Peter B's goal. Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter B. Collins.
We continue our live coverage here in Denver on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to give us some feedback on the media coverage, because I've been in this bubble here. I ordinarily read two newspapers and lots of online commentary every day, and I watch as much evening cable shout news as I can stomach, which some days is a couple hours and other days about 20 minutes. Paul Waldman joins me live and in person. It's nice to see you face-to-face. We talk on the phone a couple of times a month. He is, of course, a senior fellow over at MediaMatters.org. That's Media Matters for America. And co-author of the book Free Ride about McCain and the media. His colleague David Brock is the other author there. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
Are you bubbled in here?
I am a little bit bubbled in, but, you know, one of the treats of coming to a convention like this one is I get to do things like meet Peter B. Collins in person. We've been talking on the radio together for years.
Yeah.
I had no idea that he was 6 foot 10 inches tall and more handsome than Brad Pitt.
Well, and right above my coin slot is the tattoo that says media does matter. So what is it like? I know one thing, because I saw a press release from Media Matters. You got into a face-to-face with Jerome Corsi, the Swift Boat author, who has a new book that is an abomination.
Yes, it's called Obomination, and you're supposed to say it fast. For those people who aren't up on their right-wing hitmen, Jerome Corsi was the co-author of the book Unfit for Command, which was sort of the centerpiece of the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth smear campaign against John Kerry that was so successful 4 years ago.
Ghostwritten by Sean Hannity?
Well, no. I
we don't know.
At one point, Corsi began to be kind of be discredited, and his co-author even tried to distance himself from him. But now he's back, and he has this new book about Obama that is just as filled with distortions and falsehoods as his last book about a presidential candidate was. Yet, you know, he's trying to go around and claim to be a credible source. I think that the media have been doing a slightly better job this time. You know, last time, time, it was really one of the most extraordinary cases of media malpractice that we've seen in a long time. They gave all this attention to the Swift Boat veterans and to Corsi himself, and it took about a month before they actually sat down and said, okay, let's look at the charges that they're making and really investigate to see whether or not they're true. When they did that, when they looked at John Kerry's service records and all of that, they discovered that everything that these guys were saying was false, and they published it. There were some very good analyses in the New York Times and the Washington Post, but by the time it happened, it was too late because the charges had been floating around for weeks and weeks. Now, this time, we at Media Matters decided, okay, we're going to go through this book the day it comes out and document every single falsehood we can find, and we did that. It's all up on our website at MediaMatters.org, and there's lots and lots of them. We also discovered some things about Jerome Corsi. For instance, he, back in 2002 and 2003, about 5 years ago, put up a whole series of extraordinarily bigoted and juvenile posts up on a right-wing website, doing things like calling Muslims ragheads, referring to Chelsea Clinton as chubby Chelsea, just really kind of ugly stuff, bigoted stuff, juvenile stuff. He apologized for it, but that doesn't really explain why he did it in the first place. It turns out that in promoting this book, he went on a white supremacist radio show. He's gone on UFO conspiracy theory radio shows. These are kind of the circles that he's traveling in, and he writes for a website called WorldNut Daily, which is about as crazy as they come on the internet.
Yeah, that's WorldNut Daily, N-U-T.
And so it's kind of it's pretty extraordinary that he actually seems to be almost surprised that people are not treating him with the credibility that he thinks he deserves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw the launch of his book, and I was stuck in a hotel room and somehow found the Fox News Channel late at night, and there was a replay of Sean Hannity's America, where he was not only taking credit for the Swift Boat launch in 2004, in the same breath as he takes credit for the Jeremiah Wright videos, and there he was pimping for Jerome Corsi. And it's really, you know, it's clear that Corsi connects with the zeitgeist, if there is one, at Fox News.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Even if more credible news organizations are not going to take him seriously, and they've been doing a slightly better job about that, he still can get on Fox News as often as he wants. He's been on there more times than I can count. And it's one of the geniuses of the conservative machine is that they have this whole sort of parallel media, parallel promotion network. And somebody like this, even if the charges that he's making are just completely outrageous and he has no credibility whatsoever, they can just plug him right into that, and he can go on Fox, he can go on Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity's radio show and all of these different places, and millions of people can hear what he has to say without the kind of refutation that really is necessary.
Now, did you and the other brains at Media Matters think about that at least initially, in some ways, you were giving people their first view of Corsi? In other words, by putting out your critique, did you in some ways worry that you were actually providing free promotion for him?
Yeah, it's a concern, and I think that that's a question that one naturally has to think about, is if you're going to try to debunk something, are you just giving the thing that you're debunking more oxygen and allowing it to spread farther? But I think in this case...
Yeah, and I just want to offer this in my own case, that I didn't invite Jerome Corsi on the program, but that doesn't mean that millions of people won't hear what he has to say. And so we can't operate in our own niche and say, well, my listeners won't be infected by this virus material, but we have to look at the bigger picture of how it infects a larger universe.
Yeah, and so what Media Matters said was, okay, we know this guy is going to be out there, so it's our job to go through and look at what he says and see what the facts are. And, you know, for instance, he went on, I actually had a debate with him on Larry King Live on CNN. Once they made the decision that they were going to bring him on, we felt like if they were going to allow me to come on and to refute him, then that was the best possible outcome. And so, you know, I think things have been a little bit more encouraging this time because he's not getting as much attention from the mainstream media as he did 4 years ago. But, you know, there have been stories where if you ask the reporters what the rationale was for doing it, they said, well, he was on the bestseller list. And so, therefore, it's something that needs to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is exactly, that means that they've accomplished their mission, because the way this system works, the conservatives know that the way that they get these really despicable ideas in many cases, into the mainstream discourse is through the bestseller list. So they have a whole strategy in place to buy up copies in bulk, to promote them through their conservative mailing list and conservative book clubs, and that will, if they can push that book onto the bestseller list, then those mainstream news sources will say, well, you know, it, even though it looks like it's a pile of garbage, we have to pay attention to it because it's on the bestseller list. That means they've accomplished their mission.
Paul Waldman with us from Media Matters for America. MediaMatters.org is their website. You can call in if you want to report some media prevarications at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. But do it quick because Paul's with us just for another 5 minutes or so. One thing, I've only been able to watch a little TV while I'm here, but I saw some coverage on the local Fox affiliate, and they routinely will show some pictures of the relatively small crowds of protesters here and label them far left. And that's just one of the things that I've seen in the way, you know, they're tipping their ideology in their fair and balanced coverage. Have you seen anything that you'd like to comment on?
Oh, yeah. They, you know, Fox has been sort of ridiculous, which is nothing new. I mean, they've had a parade of Republicans to come on during their supposedly fair and balanced coverage to trash the Democrats. Something tells me that during the Republican convention, they're not going to be bringing on a parade of Democrats to trash the Republicans. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of just endless discussion of the supposed rifts between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and you know, even to the point where I think CBS brought on a body language expert to say that she wasn't gesticulating enough, and that means that she wasn't sincere when she was talking about how much she's supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
The AP did a story that analyzed how many times she said the word I, and said that since it was more than the time she said the word Obama, then that must mean that she wasn't really sincere. Whereas, you know, there are sentences in her speech like, I support Barack Obama. Well,
right.
She said I there, but it was really about him.
Well, but Paul, it's interesting because we took the text of the speech late last night and had a couple of glasses of wine, and we went through, and there were a lot of references to me. Now, I do understand that using the first person singular is a way of saying, I support Barack Obama. I ran for president because. And I prefer that to the royal we, which politicians often employ, or they'll start to talk about themselves in the third person. Well, Hillary Clinton ran for president, dot, dot, dot. But in a speech that was supposed to be about Barack Obama and her support for him, she did spend a lot of time talking about me.
Well, she had a very difficult task in that speech because she had to honor her own supporters, and therefore it was necessary for her to talk about her candidacy and yet bring them over. I thought that the most compelling part of the speech was when she said, you have to ask yourself, was it all just about me,
right,
or was it about that Marine who's fighting in Iraq, that family who's struggling for the minimum wage? I thought that was a very compelling and emotional section of her speech, talking, really giving a reason why it was important for her supporters to support Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So the one other to accomplish a lot of different things.
The one other thing that I would offer is that I think it would have been a stronger speech if she'd just given us one personal anecdote of, you know, I was with Barack when we decided to challenge yada, 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 or when we fought together to pass a bill. And I do think that would have strengthened it. But, you know, I give her a lot of credit. That's a very difficult thing to do. And she was very professional. She was very much at ease, much more so than in the concession speech in Washington in June. And so I do give her a lot of credit. But, hey, we get to snipe. And if I had been asked to review her text beforehand, I would have said, hey, how about that little personal story about you and Barack?
Yeah, that might have added something. But, you know, today, what happened today with the where she offered up basically a proposal to nominate Barack Obama by acclamation. It was a very dramatic moment in the hall. I'm sure people are going to see it on the news. It's going to be replayed. After that, I'm sure she's going to be asking herself, you know, what more do I have to do to convince people that I actually support him?
Paul Waldman, I'm looking at MediaMatters.org right now. We'll just touch on a couple of things that you and I have probably missed. Tom Brokaw misquoted and misrepresented Bill Clinton, a Bill Clinton remark that he described as really provocative. It's a quote that Clinton had said, you've got a candidate X and candidate Y. Candidate X, you agree with everything that he stands for, but you have some real doubts about his experience. Candidate Y only believes that in half the things, but you really trust his experience. Who are you going to vote for? But it goes on to say Clinton did not raise the issue issue of experience in his remarks, and Brokaw didn't mention that Clinton said the hypothetical he described has nothing to do with what's going on now.
Yeah, I think people are going back and looking at the speech where Clinton talked about that to try to make an argument that he's not really going to be sincere, or that's an argument why you should support John McCain. I think that that was in the context of a primary campaign where he was talking to Democrats, choosing between Democrats. Any Democrat who's choosing who they're going to vote for, he's talking about supporting half the things. Well, there aren't very many things that John McCain supports that Democrats support. Obviously, both candidates are going to be trying to make arguments to independents. But it does seem as though there are, this half dozen people who supported Hillary Clinton but can't bring themselves to support Barack Obama. And even though there's a tiny number of people, they're getting interviewed by, they're getting so much attention that you would have thought they won the Nobel Prize or something.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be an interesting question to see whether or not after this convention is over that fades, and we start to ask the question, what about the rifts in the Republican Party? Because those are even more substantial than the rifts in the Democratic Party.
One other sequence that was reported to me by a friend who I have confidence in was that as Michelle Obama was giving her speech on Monday evening, CNN ran a corner picture in the on the screen of a news conference by the Aurora Police Department about a suspect who was in custody charged with attempting an assassination of Barack Obama. And it was on the web stream of CNN, so I want to correct that. But at any rate, that just seemed like a really tasteless rush to be first and to bring something live that really, was inappropriate in my view.
Yeah, that is a little troubling. But the networks are obviously scrambling around. They have a difficult job to do here, but they don't always do it very well. There's a lot of ridiculous talk and ridiculous decisions that are made. I think that at Media Matters we're going to have a lot to criticize for the rest of this convention, and probably a lot to criticize for the Republican convention too.
Paul, great to see you. Thanks for joining us today. Paul Waldman, the co-author of Free Ride: The Media and John McCain, and a senior fellow there at MediaMatters.org. We'll talk to you in a week or two.
I look forward to it.
All right, Paul. Thank you very much. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a break and return with more live coverage from Denver here at the Democratic National Convention. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Off to a pretty quiet start here. Watsonville, an accident. Harrington Road at Sill Road. Dump truck and a car mixed it up. That may be blocking lanes. A tow truck is on the way. Also in Watsonville, 129 at Highway 1, we have a broken down big rig with a trailer that's blocking the left-hand lane there. And down in King City, South 101 before Central Avenue, it's a big rig broken down and partially blocking one of the lanes. CHP is on the scene. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains, currently checks in Stalin, accident-free. Highway 68, we have nothing to tell you about right now. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars have been fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones.
such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's a pizza paradise where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Useless to resist us.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver. We are live on our AM radio affiliates. We're live on the stream at green960.com, and we're available after the fact via podcast. The links are on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Susie Turnbull joins us. She's been up since yesterday, and she is the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Peter.
So the roll call is behind us, and by acclamation, Barack Obama has been named the nominee of the Democratic Party.
Not bad. We're pretty excited. I think it was really an electric feeling on the floor to watch it.
And it was kind of an Olympic relay. One state yielded to Illinois?
Part of it is you have to figure the numbers, and you weren't sure exactly which state would be able to throw Barack Obama over the top. And so what happened is once the state of New Mexico yield to Illinois, so that they saying that Illinois could throw him over the top. But what happened is Illinois then yielded back to New York, state of New York.
And let's talk about the symbolism here. Hillary Clinton was born in Illinois. Barack Obama is the senator from Illinois. And then we yielded to?
And to Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton was terrific, and she issued a request of a motion to have the vote be made and that all votes would be counted, but that the final vote would be by acclamation.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi held the gavel, and Nancy then took that vote, and the vote was more than a two-thirds majority. It was a voice vote, and she gaveled in Barack Obama to be our nominee.
Wow. Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Well, I think that's great, and as I was telling you before we went on the air, my only disappointment is that this isn't occurring in prime time, and it's partly because of my own love of watching the convention since I was 7 years old, and I love the roll call of the states and the histrionics and the drama of people saying, you know, the great state of yada yada. And the other part is that, you know, I was never a supporter of Senator Clinton. I have great respect for the campaign that she ran and the voters that she energized, and it's those voters who I wanted to, you know, have this displayed to in prime time, because I'm very concerned about the unity of the party and about the disaffected Clinton supporters, some of the most extreme I call the give me Hillary or give me death types. But, you know, I do think that this was a process that is part of the healing, and I just would have liked to see it in prime time.
Right. Well, I think in some respects it was, we just finished it 5 o'clock. It was about 7 o'clock in the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
A huge part of it.
My Californians are still driving home.
Your Californians are driving home. My guess, Peter, they're going to play this over and over again.
Yeah.
There's always C-SPAN, and I think people will tune in, and they'll be curious and watch it.
Yeah.
Part of it is that there's so much interest in this convention because, first of all, we didn't learn of our nominee until just last weekend. We had
the VP,
vice presidential nominee. We have we've had some tremendous speeches, and between Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton and Ted Kennedy, Governor Schweitzer had a great speech yesterday, and we've had a lot. Mark Warner did a great speech as the keynote speaker Tuesday night. Tonight we're going to hear from President Clinton. We're going to hear from Harry Reid. We're going to hear from a great group, and we just had what for me my favorite part, when all of the women of the House of Representatives got on the podium, and we heard from 8 of them. They spoke from the voices of people who have written letters to Barack Obama and others about the issues that matter: health care, energy independence, the war in Iraq. And they lined up, and first of all, it was colorful.
Well, I want to ask you about that, because Hillary talked about what the traveling society of pantsuits, and how do they decide who gets to wear which power color so that there aren't too many of those burnt oranges at once?
Now, well, I think actually it was really pretty cool. There were a lot of white suits today, black and white suits, red, blue, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was, and actually what we saw were women like Kirsten Gillibrand, who is who just had her second child in May of this year, a freshman member of Congress. We saw to Nita Lowey and Rosa DeVore, who've been in the House for so many years. It was really exciting to see them all.
Susie, you know, I'm always very concerned about the election process itself. Yesterday I talked to investigative reporter Greg Palast, and he says right here in Colorado, a state that we hope to see turn blue this year, fully one-fifth of the voters have been purged from the rolls, and most of them don't know it. And if they don't check their registration, they could show up on election day and be forced into a provisional ballot. We've seen that those ballots don't get counted.
Right. And Peter, you and I have talked about this a lot over the years, and I think that one of the things that we definitely need to do is, obviously, unfortunately, we're taking some baby steps, and we need to take some giant steps. And I think that that's something that Barack Obama would stand with and support. One of the things that we do encourage people to do is vote early. If your state allows you to, go and vote so that you don't have the problem that could exist on election day.
Well, but if you, for example, request an absentee ballot, it may be too late to renew your registration if you were illegally purged. And we've seen this on a state-by-state basis. It's part of the Republican strategy. And, it, you know, we go into vote caging and the machines and all that stuff.
Right.
But there are fundamentals like registration, and I think we need to underscore that.
Fortunately, the Democratic Party and the Obama campaign have aggressive voter protection programs. One of the things that we have done is we have surveyed all 3,000 counties across the country, so that you can talk to them, to the boards of elections in each of these counties, so that we can see exactly what's going on, to know how many machines, what kind of ballots, what kind, in this instance, what their process is for purging people. And we encourage people to vote in every election, because it is often much more difficult to purge people if they don't vote regularly.
Well, I encourage you to bring these issues forward. I know some people are sensitive. They think it'll discourage voting, but it'll really discourage voting if people show up and they're not on the registrar.
Right, and we urge people to go check. And we do want people to vote early if your state does have early voting.
Well, Susie, I hope we charged up your phone while you're here, and I hope you get some rest tonight. You'll be speaking at the stadium tomorrow. We'll be broadcasting live in advance of Senator Obama's speech tomorrow.
That's great. Well, I'm excited about it, Peter.
Okay,
great.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you. Susie Turnbull, Vice Chair of the Democratic National Committee. Peter B. Collins in Denver. More on the way. Hi, it's Peter B., urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code PETERB in lowercase at MendingAmerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's MendingAmerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Howard Arenstein, live at the Democratic National Convention in Denver.
I move Senator Barack Obama of Illinois be selected by this convention by acclamation as the nominee of the Democratic Party.
Hillary Clinton interrupted the roll call of states here and officially asked her delegates to switch their votes.
In the spirit of unity, with the goal of victory, let's declare together in one voice, right here, right now, that Barack Obama is our candidate and he will be our president.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asked for a second.
All in favor of the motion to suspend the rules and nominate by acclamation Barack Obama as the Democratic Party's presidential candidate, please say aye. All those opposed, please say no. Two-thirds of the delegates having voted in the affirmative, the motion is adopted.
Correspondent Steve Futterman is live on the floor where delegates are anticipating President Bill Clinton's big speech in about an hour.
Well, Howard, the former president's speech will be closely watched, obviously, by both delegates and pundits. He's expected to focus much of the speech on foreign policy. But the key part of the Clinton speech in the minds of many will be what he says about Barack Obama, his level of enthusiasm, and whether Mr. Clinton says Obama is ready to be commander-in-chief.
Also later tonight, the vice presidential nominee, Joe Biden, will speak. I'm Howard Arenstein, live in Denver. More news now from Harley Carnes.
Marines plan to leave Anbar, Iraq, they say, in victory, not defeat.
Some of those serving in Iraq still say there aren't a whole heck of a lot of bad guys there left to fight.
So Marine Commandant General James Conway says,
we do believe that security conditions are such that even with reduced force that we can keep them at a very low ebb.
A senior Shiite militant suspect has been captured in Baghdad. He's believed to be behind a bomb in June that killed four Americans and six Iraqis in Sadr City. Hurricane warnings are up for Jamaica. Bruce Golding is the prime minister there.
Whatever we can do to prepare ourselves and to minimize the impact is something that we have an obligation to do.
Gustav could be a very destructive hurricane once it gets into the Gulf, and no one knows where he'll go yet. Big worries in the Big Easy.
Some folks doing business here at City Hall say they are making plans.
Yeah, we made a lot of preparations. We're trying to head towards Houston, Texas. If not, we'll probably head towards California.
Well, some are just watching and waiting.
Well, come Friday or Saturday, we'll know a little bit more definite plans. I mean, we don't know what's going on with it just yet, you know. Get the hell out of town if it looks like it's coming, that's for sure.
Jay Vice for CBS News, New Orleans.
Worries about what Gustav might do in the Gulf drove oil prices up nearly $2 to more than $118 a barrel today. This is CBS News.
Don't miss Lowe's Big Labor Day event, where you can get 10% off major appliances priced at $397 and above. Get $5 off 1 gallon or $20 off 5 gallon qualifying Valspar paint via mail-in rebate. And get 12 months special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Not to mention new lower prices throughout the store. So come to Lowe's this Labor Day weekend. Lowe's, let's build something together. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Credit offer available August 28th through September 1st.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 30% too. From August 28th through September 1st, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. Save up to 30% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paints, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Consumers clipping bogus shopping coupons from their email are getting a red-faced moment at the checkout line.
What began as a marketing experiment on Facebook becoming a fiasco for shoppers.
Honest consumers have been confronted at the stores. They've been embarrassed. And that's completely inappropriate.
Because the coupons are not authorized by the manufacturer. Bud Miller, Coupon Information Corporation.
A coupon should never appear on a computer screen. It should go directly to your printer. There should be no opportunity to divert it to a PDF file, anything like that.
And he says most bona fide online coupons come not by email, but from a company's website. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
In time for Harley-Davidson's 105th anniversary, a Wisconsin man, Steve Hopkins, has built the longest hog ever. It's a 5-seat, 4-engine hog, and it's traditional, too. You have to kick-start it. Says he'll ride it this weekend in Milwaukee at the Harley Celebration. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
We'd been mattress shopping all day, and he bet me that I'd love the very next bed we tried.
Was I right?
You cheated. He took me to the Select Comfort Store to try a Sleep Number bed.
But was I right?
Come on. I adjusted my side to the sleep number that felt best. That's the whole idea.
And you?
Loved it.
Yeah, see, I was right. I want to remember this. I'm not right very often.
He's right about that.
Join the over 5 million people who've discovered the personalized comfort of a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my Sleep Number bed.
I knew you would.
I know you knew I would.
Right now, during our biggest sale of the year, every Sleep Number bed is on sale with instant cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 full years on approved credit. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for a Select Comfort store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day.
Just a year ago, 9 Democrats were fighting for the presidential nomination. We've reached the finale. Now live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter V. Collins.
That's right. 1 year ago, 9 people running for president of the United States as Democrats. And today, a nominee has emerged. By acclamation, Barack Obama has been named the presidential candidate of the Democratic Party. No surprise, but still a fair amount of excitement and a pretty well-orchestrated scheme there as they went through the roll call. I'm still disappointed that it didn't happen in prime time, but I guess I'll just have to get over it. Joan Claybrook joins us now from Public Citizen, and their website is citizen.org. You do a lot of good work there, Joan.
We do. We do fabulous work. We don't take any money from business or from government.
You don't have a corporate sponsor?
We don't have any corporate sponsors.
Well, wait a minute. What are you doing here? Huh? There's no room for... I don't have any corporate sponsors either, and I think I'm the only one.
Well, I think it's a few regular citizens ought to be at the convention, but even though it's mostly dominated by lobbyists. So Public Citizen is a freewheeling, hard-hitting organization. We do litigation, lobbying. Mm-hmm. We write reports. We petition government agencies, and we work on health issues and regulatory issues. Issues like auto safety and truck safety and
right.
Occupational safety and health and
you don't
international
look that
trade and energy. And so we're very much the citizen's voice.
You don't look that scary. But you make people nervous, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm called the dragon lady by the auto industry, actually.
Now, one of the people I'm hoping gets elected to Congress from the fine state of Maine this year is Shelley Pingree. She used to run Common Cause.
She did.
Yeah.
She's terrific.
Wouldn't she be a great ally for you there?
Totally. And she is a big supporter of public funding of elections, which
right.
we also support.
Yeah.
And we're very disappointed that public funding really hasn't dominated the this presidential election. When you have two people running as the nominees of their party, both John McCain and Barack Obama, who support public funding of elections, not only presidential, but also for congressional. And they are, Barack Obama, anyway, is a sponsor of the congressional public funding bill, which is really an important bill. So we're hoping that whichever one gets elected, that they'll continue to pursue these once their own campaigns are over with.
I hear that, and you put that in a very diplomatic way. I have to say I'm a big supporter of public funding. I think we've got to end this bribery system. It's legalized bribery.
It is.
And the pay-to-play, it just stinks. And there's so many examples of it, particularly it's run away on a wild level under the Bush administration. But I have to say that I'm not sharply critical of Barack Obama for opting out of the system, because he has been able to raise so much money from individuals, and I'm not ignoring that his seed money came from Wall Street,
right.
And he hasn't been too tough on the bankers and the investment crowd. But, I do believe that he has a pretty broad base of supporters, more than 1 million different people, and I think he's going to be able to say to the lobbyists who come to see him, well, yeah, you were there first, so you get a meeting. But, the people who came in behind you are average Americans, and they're my constituency, and they're the people who elected me. Lobbyists only get one vote per person.
Right.
So, honestly, I'm not too upset by that, but I do hope that Senator Obama, should he become president, will lead a charge to get as much money out of our campaigns as possible.
Right. Well, they should come out, because right now the lobbyists control the system. It's not just the lobbyists, it's the money system.
Yeah.
The money system. System combined combined with the lobbyists, and they bundle. They go around and they raise money from all these other people. They put it in a big bundle and they deliver it to the candidates. The candidates love this because they don't like to raise money. Mm-hmm. They get these bundles of money, and then they say, well, gee, you know, Exxon has been very generous to me, or General Electric has been very generous to me. And so they're very open to hearing what they have to say. Mm-hmm. And it's a corrupt system, and it should not be what guides this country. And the reason that we don't have better fuel economy standards, or the reason we don't have solar and wind power that get tax breaks the way they should, it's because the lobbyists and the money system have controlled this on behalf of the oil industry.
Now, Joan, the real bright spot is the ethics reform that the Democrats have put in place, because, you know, Ted Stevens has been before the Senate Ethics Committee, David Vitter, Larry Craig. Oh, I'm wrong. None of those people have had... Well, Larry Craig had a brief encounter. He was reprimanded by the Ethics Committee.
Yes, he was. Right.
But David Vitter's case has never been explored.
No, that's right.
And Senator Stevens is being tried. He's been indicted and will be tried.
Right.
But the Senate Ethics Committee has never touched the issues of his illegal acceptance of the remodeling from VECO.
Right. Well, we've been very critical of the lack of ethics enforcement. And, in fact, it's very relevant to this convention as well, because one of the reasons why people feel pretty free to cut the rules right to the edge, have events not just for one member of Congress but for the whole freshman class, for example, is because they say, well, that doesn't violate the ethics rules. We think it does. But they say it's not just for one member of Congress, so therefore it doesn't really violate the ethics rules. But there's no enforcement.
Yeah.
The Ethics Committee is not going to do it. They're not going to go after somebody for having a party. And they're not going to have criminal indictments of lobbying organizations for having a party.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult to enforce these particular rules.
Right.
But I will say that the Senate Ethics Committee has been pretty tough in the interpretations of the rules that come out.
That's why Trent Lott had to leave and become a lobbyist, because he didn't want to just always eat at McDonald's. That's what he said. I don't want to have to go to McDonald's.
But the House Ethics Committee has not been as strong in their interpretations of these rules. But on the other hand, in the House, they have put in place something that begins to touch what we wanted.
Yeah, but it doesn't permit outside referrals.
It does not permit outside referrals in the House. It does in the Senate. So it's complicated, but, you know, you keep pushing.
Yeah. The way I characterize the House modifications is that they opened a new window to the ethics office right around the corner.
Okay.
Joan Claybrook is with us from Public Citizen, their website, citizen.org. Now, I'm a little uncomfortable because I'm one of these people who's really angry about the FISA amendments that were passed. They gave away my Fourth Amendment rights, and they immunized, it's real amnesty for the telephone companies who openly broke the law, they say, under instructions from the Bush administration.
I'm pretty outraged about it myself.
And so the Democrats helped craft what they call a compromise. I call it a total capitulation, and George Miller's really angry at me. But how could they have AT&T, one of the biggest beneficiaries of that FISA bill, pony up over $1 million to become a lead sponsor of this convention?
Well, it was payback time. And I guess that their view is that the public is a little bit inured to this. They're used to seeing all the fall of all of these conventions and all the parties and events and so on. And since it's so diffuse, who's going to get blamed? And the Republicans are doing it as well as the Democrats. So, you know, what's the harm? And that's how they get away with it, because the public does not get outraged about things at this level. They do get outraged about the FISA bill and the Fourth Amendment rights and all of that, and immunizing AT&T, but they rarely connect the fact that AT&T has given a huge amount of money for the convention, and they got their immunization from the same party.
Now, what about just on the image level? There's a parking lot right out here behind us that is loaded with these SUVs that have been provided by General Motors, a sponsor of this event, and they have these custom DNC Colorado license plates. Are they unaware that these are gas guzzling fueling vehicles, as we talk about, you know, trying to wean Americans from oil dependence and foreign oil dependence, and these swells are all arriving in free SUVs?
Well, the reason they're using the SUVs is because they're not being sold, so they have extras around. The public has gotten pretty smart about that as soon as the price of gas went up. But actually, the convention has been very green-oriented. They've tried to be very green-oriented here.
I've heard that. I've seen the press releases on biodegradable paper.
Right. And they're sorting all the trash and all the other things. But, you know, the auto industry says it will provide X number of vehicles. Either you got to go hire limousines or you got to have something from the gift from the company. So they take the gift from the companies.
Any other sponsorships here that trouble you, Joan Claybrook?
Well, I was troubled by the sponsorship of the Freshman Democratic Party by Visa. The Freshman Democrats were critical in passing the ethics reform bill. And the fact that they would allow themselves and the party would allow a credit card company, which has engaged, not that necessarily that company alone, but credit card companies generally have, you know, bankrupted so many people. They fought to change the bankruptcy rules.
Right.
So
Joe Biden, our vice presidential candidate, was a big leader of that. He's from Delaware.
It was Carper. It was Carper, wasn't it? Carper.
But Biden supported the bankruptcy bill.
Did he in the end?
He did. Yes.
I didn't think he did. I thought he was on the other side.
Okay, I could be wrong, but I'm not sure about that.
But anyway, but nevertheless, the credit card companies have their home in Delaware. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been so abusive toward the things that the Democratic Party in its platform says that it really stands for, which is to help people and to address the needs and issues that they have. And the Democrats basically, by and large, although not all, oppose the changes to the bankruptcy law, which makes it much more difficult to clear bankruptcy. And yet the credit card company, and they haven't passed the reforms to limit the credit card companies having horrendous interest rates. They've done some, but not a lot. And so I was upset about that because the freshman Democrats have been so important, and they were really a source of great energy. And without them, I don't think that ethics law would have passed.
Yeah. Very good. No. Well, Joan, thank you for your work. You're guarding the hen house for us. We really appreciate it.
Well, we enjoy it, and we'd love to have public input, and I hope that people will come to our webpage, and I hope they'll support Public Citizen, because it's only by support from the public that we can do our work.
Citizen.org on the web.
www.citizen.org. Go to our webpage and connect with us.
Joan Claybrook, thank you very much.
Okay.
Good to see you here at the Democratic National Convention. We'll take a break and return. More on the way here on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you in part by the Law Office of Lawrence Strick. They're on the web at stricklaw.com.
Most mattress commercials feature a laundry list of brands the stores carry. You've heard the familiar names, and they count on that. So no matter what new model is introduced, no matter how good or inferior the components in that model, you'll still relate to the brand. SC41 Furniture carries its own brand, and we think that's good. Because we want you to judge our mattress on its quality and comfort, not just the name. At our store, you can see everything that goes into our mattresses. The durable slat suspension we adjust to each person, the high-grade carbon steel coils that hold their tension and deliver excellent support, latex cushioning made with air-circulating channels and free of all harmful chemicals, ultra-clean wool lining, and stretch cotton mattress covers that feel soft next to your body. You'll find this unique mattress made with only the highest quality components at one place, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz, on the web at sc41.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events. to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Checking traffic on KRXA. New crash coming in for Gilroy eastbound 152 at Holsklaw Road. No details, but it looks like emergency crews are on the way. 129 at Rogie Lane, an accident where a vehicle went off the roadway and hit a tree. That should be in the final clearing stages. Some delays for Salinas. 101 between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard. They're doing some construction. Various lanes closed for installation of a new concrete median barrier. Highway 17 checks installing accident-free. And good news, 152 at 156, they had a ribbon cutting ceremony today. The new flyover and truck climbing lanes will open at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, so that should ease some congestion in the area. This is brought to you by your neighborhood Ace Hardware Store. Shop the Labor Day sale going on now through Monday at participating neighborhood Ace Hardware Stores. For quality products and expert advice, count on Ace, the helpful place. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, not from Washington, from the Democratic National Convention in Denver. It's 23 minutes after the hour. And I want to thank Nick Tanum, who's keeping things together back at Master Control in the Bay Area. And we are organized with the chaos here in Denver. Keith Ellison, the Democratic congressman from Minneapolis, is stepping up to the microphone right now. Congressman, welcome back.
Hey there, Peter. How you doing?
I enjoyed meeting you back in Minneapolis at the Media Reform Conference in June. We've had a chance to talk a time or two since then. Great to see you.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, let me tell you, this is interesting happenings going on, wouldn't you say?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me how you feel about Vice President Biden.
You know, I tell you, I was at a Day on the Hill event for some Pakistani doctors about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pakistanis, like all Americans, immigrants, love the country they're in, but keep an eye on the country they're from. And, you know, he stood in front of about 25, 30 guys, maybe 50, and just orated on the finer points of Pakistani history, culture, mm-hmm. the president's political situation, in a way that I don't think very many people can do in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like almost an academic treatment of the subject. And, you know, so my opinion is, I don't like how he voted on the bankruptcy bill, but I think that
I'm with you there.
Yeah, but when it comes to foreign policy, I think he is extremely well-informed, and he understands that there's no military or kinetic way out of this mess. You know, he understands that, you know, you find an Al-Qaeda guy in a village, and you blow up the village, and you've already killed a bunch of other people, mm-hmm. and you just made that many more enemies.
Yeah.
He gets that.
One other thing, and you know, I'm fine with his nomination, and a lot better than Evan Bayh in my book. Okay,
yeah.
I'm relieved about that. But one of the other things, and you know, he's got, what, a 30-year history of legislative votes, and some of those will be used against him. And one that I really didn't like that's way back there in 1988 was the crack cocaine law that he wrote after the death of Len Bias. And it took us 23 years or so to correct that egregious error that really disproportionately affected African Americans.
It caused enormous suffering. It was, we're still suffering from the effects of it.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, even though we've had the Supreme Court decision which allows federal court judges to sentence within their own judgment, the fact remains that many states copied the federal guidelines, and there's a lot of folks who are doing a lot of time when what they really should have got is some treatment. You know, well, here's the deal. You know, in real life of politics, you gotta weigh them out, mm-hmm. and you gotta pick the best person you can get. I think that he is the kind of man who probably can admit mistakes,
mm-hmm.
knows when things don't go right, and it just goes to show. Hopefully, after 30 years, you realize you cannot legislate by anecdote.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Yeah. Keith Ellison, you're, as far as I know, the only Muslim member of the House of Representatives. You're an African American. Tell me how you feel when you see the polls that show that 13-17% falsely believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim, and that's being used as a wedge by the political right. And how do we deal with that?
Well, you know, I don't want to sound Pollyanna, you know, but I see it as a situation where 87% of the people
got it right.
and you know, I mean, there's probably 3-4% of the people believe Elvis is still around. You know, there are folks who don't get it, you know, but here's the deal. There are right wingers out there deliberately trying to whip up antipathy for Barack Obama,
mm-hmm.
based on the false idea that he's Muslim when he's not.
Okay, but let me ask you about this, because there are white Democrats who I know in Detroit, and they look at Kwame Kilpatrick, and they say it's a mischaracterization,
sure.
all right? But they say here's a corrupt politician who has surrounded himself with African Americans and cronies, and they look at that and they're afraid that that's what Barack Obama is going to do. And I've heard him explicitly say that.
Yes, yeah, some might say that, but you know what? For every, well, you know, first of all, the jury's not out on Mayor Kilpatrick, but you know, you got a lot of white corrupt politicians out there too. I mean,
amen.
Come on now.
I'm not unaware of that.
Right, and I know you're not representing their position. You're just saying this view is out there. You know, let me tell you, Detroit is an interesting place. I'm born and raised there, and I'll tell you that Detroit is the kind of place where, you know, if a black painter does a bad job on your house, you don't want to hire any more black painters. White painter does a bad job on your house, you go get another painter. You know what I mean? It's just sort of, you know, but you know what? Detroit has come a long way. Detroit has come miles.
Yeah.
And I believe that folks in Macomb County, Oakland County, places like that,
mm-hmm.
are going to say, you know, this guy, the mayor, and this guy, Obama's another guy.
Right.
And I believe...
And Obama doesn't send text messages.
Right, hopefully.
Keith Ellison,
hey,
our time is short, but it's a pleasure to see you. Thank you for dropping by.
Love being on the show.
We'll talk to you again. Keith Ellison here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Denver.
Great job.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Fryer Tux Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FryerTuxRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Fryer Tux, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Fryer Tux, great food, great fun.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Democrats are meeting in the Mile High City, hoping to heal divisions and take on the Republican attack machine this November. Peter B. is on the scene, bringing you the voices of change. Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter B. Collins.
Our live special coverage from the Democratic National Convention continues. And to be clear, we can't offer you gavel-to-gavel coverage. We have to defer to the television networks for that. We're locked in a little basement area behind some bulletproof drywall, out of sight of just about everybody.
But a lot of nice-looking guests that are coming through.
Oh, it's been fabulous here. And Rich Goodstein joins us now at the Peter B. Collins microphones. We were together back at the Take Back America conference earlier this year.
Very memorable for me. Thank you for having me back.
You bet. It's good to see you. Now, you're a longtime friend of Bill and Hillary's, and you
you played an active role in the Clinton campaign this year.
I did. Yeah, I was involved, and I think we discussed it at the time, superdelegate outreach and communications, as I'm doing here, on behalf of her campaign. That's correct.
Yeah. And those superdelegates, you know, that's something that most of us didn't know a thing about, Rich, until we saw these very close primaries, the spirited contest, and you know, I thought there were some excesses, but in the big picture, you know, a lot of people were energized this year behind the two major contenders, and it's good for democracy, it's good for the Democratic Party, and I hope that we can unify these various cells of people and really take back our country from the neocons this fall.
I have to say, I am as confident as anybody could be that that will happen. And for any number of reasons. Yes, I'm a big Hillary Clinton supporter, but I think she said it right last night, which is, this was, you supported my campaign not for me, but because of what I believed in. And then she ticked off all the different issues, whether it was equal pay for equal work or the right to choose, you name health care, you name it. And the fact is, between Obama and McCain, there's no close call to be had there.
You're not a Puma?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? The Pumas, as I'm, you know, you probably said or observed, you know, are like those Japanese soldiers that were fighting World War II, you know, in 1947. I think even they will come around. And I will say this. I don't know if we'll see this, but recall, McCain to the town hall meeting, I think in South Carolina, over a year or about a year ago, and a woman gets up in the first row and says, "How are we going to beat the rhymes with which?"
Mm-hmm.
And McCain laughed,
right?
Like it was a big joke.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if it was a slur about a black or a Jew or Hispanic, and he laughed. I can only imagine what the consequences were. My point of bringing this up is, what self-respecting supporter of Hillary Clinton, certainly a female, if they were reminded of that again, could conceivably support John McCain, who clearly does not have their interests at heart and could not be more antithetically opposed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for any number of reasons, I see this as a grand coming together, that once we leave this convention, I think the Democratic Party truly will be unified. And I think whatever people are seeing on TV this week to suggest otherwise is because the press is disappointed that there's not a real fight going on.
Yeah, they want to
drum something up.
Sure. Now, since it's behind us, can you take me back and pull back the curtain here for a moment? I'm from San Francisco, and Susie and Mark Buell are great people, great Democrats, and they make a lot of contributions. But at the very end of May, Susie started a new PAC and was trying to build a case that some of the slights against Hillary as a female, that one example of which you just cited, were a rationale to continue the campaign. And I feel that she went into extra innings there at a time when it was clear that the numbers were not there for Hillary to pull out the nomination. And so I'm not demonizing Susie and Mark. I respect them. But they did kind of start something that in one way or another morphed into this Puma and the people who claim to be real Democrats. And they were using sexism and feminism as their calling cards.
Again, I don't know Susie and Mark particularly. I've met them. But, you know, I think what they were trying to do was kind of give voice. The sexism was part of it. And I frankly agree with you. As a Hillary person, I think it reached the point late in the going where there was no kind of aggregation of a message change that was going to change the outcome.
Well, and Olbermann had this line about how they were looking for a Tanya Harding outcome.
Right. Yeah, which I thought was unfortunate. I mean, it was those kind of things is what stuck in the craw of the Susie Buells of the world, and obviously didn't help. And I can tell you, again, as somebody who arrived here, I was not one of these ones holding their breath that Hillary was going to be made VP. But there was a kind of sense of reality of coming to Denver. I've talked to a bunch of Hillary supporters, as close as Susie is to her, for whom just being here kind of, again, put them in touch again with their sense of disappointment. They're not depressed. They're definitely going to make the pivot and support Obama as wholeheartedly as they can. But again, I can tell you there was a sense of feeling that they just still had a wound to lick. I think Hillary's speech last night, I think Bill's tonight, I think Obama's tomorrow night, all will serve to kind of heal that wound. And I think as much as people kind of derided Hillary talking about this catharsis that her people needed, I think she was onto something. And I think the Obama people, to their credit, were smart enough to realize that there was something to it, because mm-hmm. they had the ability, the raw power, to say, excuse me, we're not going to have, we're going to do things our way. They didn't.
Yeah.
And I think that was smart. I think they will look back and see that as a very wise thing to have done.
Rich Goodstein with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, you know that I was not a Hillary supporter.
I remember.
Still, at this very point, I wanted to see her name entered in nomination.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to see the roll call. And I told Will Bauer and other of these Puma rear guard folks that I support democracy and an open convention. And so my only disappointment at the moment, I'm not surprised at the way things played out, but why did they do the nominations and the roll call starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, well outside of prime time in any time zone?
Yeah. Well, you and I love politics, and remember, probably from growing up, the fanfare.
Exactly.
Around
I love
that.
It.
The great
but
state
you know
of
what?
Texas.
It's kind of, we didn't have 24/7, news cycle back then. It was just a different era.
Well, we also had gavel to gavel network coverage.
Well, that too.
And they've pulled the rug out.
Well, so you wonder, was that in prime time, or was it because it was gavel to gavel? Was it, plus or minus about when they had it today? It's just that the networks were covering it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a judgment, which is kind of hard to argue with, that it's cute, the little speeches and so forth, but at the end of the day, kind of boring for an audience that, grew up on video games and something more fast-paced. So, yeah, it's a shame.
But what about the cathartic aspect of it? Again, I'm focused on the bruises that Clinton supporters feel.
Yeah.
And I really want to win this election.
Yeah.
I'm not even a Democrat. I'm an independent, a declined estate voter. But it's really important, and I want to see that healing occur as much as possible. And that's really why I'm making the case here. It's not so much that I feel this was a slight. I feel that there was an opportunity missed.
Well, again, I think that the slight was, the catharsis was kind of experienced through Hillary's speech. Again, I think Bill's speech, too. I don't think the roll call at the end of the day, the mere ability for somebody to say, I'm still for Hillary Clinton, I don't think that, on top of, the countless other variables that enter into the process, was going to be enough for somebody to say, okay, I'm now cleansed of my ill will towards Barack Obama, and I can get on with the right, the business. If that's what it was going to take, they weren't going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, as I said, I think Hillary's speech, Bill's reminding people of they shouldn't be need reminding of the stark contrast between Hillary and the things she stood for, and John McCain and what he stands for. If it took, the routine of casting a vote, those people were kind of beyond kind of help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's many of those that are still on that convention floor.
Rich Goodstein, as the guy who was coordinating the superdelegates for the Clinton campaign, give me your recap of the primary process. And if I put you in charge, how would you fix it?
Well, I thought you were going to ask me what would I have done differently on behalf of Hillary. The Clinton campaign.
Well, go ahead and answer that, but
let me
address
answer
the
part,
systemic.
In response to your question, it's really one and the same. You heard, and I think we may have talked about this earlier this year, that the Clinton campaign had a beef with the caucuses. And that beef was itself, Keith Olbermann and others, derided as somehow sour grapes. But the beef was not, in my book, illegitimate. It was, when you have an hour of a day that people have to show up, and if not, their vote, they simply can't participate. And when your base is not students who can kind of do whatever they want to do almost anytime they want it, or seniors often, or kind of liberal activists, but, you know, working class people that tended more to support Hillary than not, these people couldn't just call in sick, skip work, or frankly, even if they were done their shift, these were often women who had to put food on the table for their families, to help their kids with homework, put them to bed. So I just think that that was not an illegitimate, it wasn't a joke. They were truly had a basis for the concern. So
now I hear that, but in Nevada, the Clinton campaign objected to the siting of caucuses at casinos to make it easier for the workers to attend.
Well, only because by then the casino workers, as a union, had endorsed Edwards, I think, and then there was a suggestion that that was going to kind of be the Edwards-Obama camps had some, they're working in cahoots. Uh-huh. Who knows? Uh-huh. When the book's written about the campaign, we'll know more. That was the basis for their objection, and frankly, I think they were pleasantly surprised by Nevada. I remember being with Bill Clinton, I think, the day or two before, and he wasn't at all confident about the results there for exactly the reason you said, that you know, the casino workers who were under the watchful eye of their union boss, and they had to stand up and be counted. That's not exactly something where, you know, people have the freedom to kind of, you know, vote their conscience.
But Rich, we love union bosses.
Yeah. Well.
Let me turn to another issue, and that is the allocation of delegates. I've been following elections for a long time, and I was stunned that not every state has the same system, and that we don't have a one-to-one ratio. In California, for example, Senator Clinton ended up with about a 10-point lead over Obama, but I think in net delegates she got about a 3% margin.
Again, another beef, if you will, of the Clinton campaign, but I would say, honestly, a miscalculation. Going back to the point I was going to make, what would I have done differently if I was running the Clinton campaign with perfect hindsight? One was, you know, they mailed it in on the caucuses. The Obama campaign was incredibly strategic, deployed resources so that, you know, as you say, in California, the Clinton campaign obviously rolled up a nice-sized win and didn't have much to show for it. Obama rolled up a win in Idaho that counterbalanced her win in California. Idaho's not exactly going to be, you know, top of the list of states that are going to kind of go from red to blue.
Well, and they need another 100 years to get to 34
perhaps
million.
So, exactly. So that was one thing. And I actually think Iowa, I'm not sure what they should have done differently, but if you remember, the national polls were running, Hillary was running quite strongly before Iowa. Once Obama won Iowa, that stopped, and I think the reason was blacks had been split about 50-50 beforehand. After Iowa, I think a lot of black voters in the rest of the country said, hey, if those white folks can go for Obama, who am I not to? Mm-hmm. And why shouldn't he? He's incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a straight racial appeal, certainly. He never played that card, but I think there was a sense of pride and admiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point, the macro numbers tended to kind of work against Hillary.
Yeah. Rich, a final question, a little speculative, but the Clinton campaign was riddled with leaks and infighting and that sort of thing. To put it on the flip side, I'm amazed that Obama was able to keep his secret about his VP pick as long as he did. It didn't leak out until after midnight last Friday. How do you rate the Obama campaign on its organization, its professionalism, and how do you think it'll compete against McCain this fall?
I couldn't have my hat off more profoundly than I do for the Obama campaign's ability to tackle each separate aspect of the campaign. Fundraising. Who in the world would have predicted before this campaign began that Barack Obama could outraise Hillary Clinton? You could have gotten a trillion-to-one odds on that bet.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought that, again, they would have deployed the resources so that these caucuses became their whole card? Who would have thought that could have pulled off this trip to the Middle East and Europe in a way that was just awesome with the resources of a campaign, not the full federal government. When a president goes there, fine. I mean, you've got, you know, people, backups upon backups upon backups for security and advance and planning, and these, and you know, weeks and months in advance. With the Obama campaign there, I would think would give confidence to people that this is a guy, when he gets into the Oval Office, is going to have a crack team who can get the job done from day one. Not in the way that, you know, Hillary was made that argument for herself, but they've shown the ability, frankly, to do it that I think has to impress anybody of any stripe. And the McCain campaign, frankly, in contrast, is John McCain on a plane.
Yeah. Rich Goodstein, great to see you. Thanks for talking
great
with
to be
us
back.
Today. Yeah,
thank
enjoyed
you.
It. We're going to take a break and return. Congressman Jay Inslee from Washington State, scheduled to finally, as our final guest here from Denver tonight on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic on KRXA. New crash coming in for Gilroy eastbound 152 at Holsklaw Road. No details, but it looks like emergency crews are on the way. 129 at Rogie Lane, an accident where a vehicle went off the roadway and hit a tree. That should be in the final clearing stages. Some delays for Salinas. 101 between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard. They're doing some construction. Various lanes closed for installation of a new concrete median barrier. Highway 17 checks installing accident free. And good news, 152 at 156, they had a ribbon cutting ceremony today. The new flyover and truck climbing lanes will open at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, so that should ease some congestion in the area. This is brought to you by your neighborhood Ace Hardware Store. Shop the Labor Day sale going on now through Monday at participating neighborhood Ace Hardware Stores. For quality products and expert advice, count on Ace, the helpful place. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
This is Bob Oliver.
This is Whitley Strieber.
Please join us this Saturday at 9 p.m. for the Quantum Leap. Whitley is the author of many books and movies, including The Wolfen, The Hunger, Black Magic, Nature's End, Cat Magic, Communion, Transformation, The Greys, 2012, The Search for Souls, and coming soon, Critical Mass. Whitley Strieber, Dreamland, and The Quantum Leap, Saturday, 9 p.m. on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Democratic National Convention in Denver, Colorado. And we're joined now by Dan Tarullo, a senior economic advisor to Senator Obama, the nominee of the Democratic Party. And he's a professor at Georgetown. Welcome, sir.
It's good to be with you, Peter.
It's nice to talk with you. We just have limited time here, so I wonder if you can identify for us how serious Barack Obama thinks our economic problems are, including the housing crisis, the foreclosure problems that many working families are encountering. And I do appreciate his offer of a tax to help working families deal with the increased cost of gasoline. But how serious does he believe our economic problems are?
Well, I think, Peter, on two levels, there's
an enormous difference between Senator Obama and Senator McCain. First, with respect to the short-term problems that you just identified, Senator McCain essentially has no plan. Senator Obama has said it is critical to get an additional stimulus package in place. He's indicated that we may need additional measures in order to get the credit markets unfrozen and moving again. And he is focused on that, whereas Senator McCain has really had nothing to say. Over the longer term, Senator Obama got into this campaign because of his concerns about the situation of the middle class in this country, about the need to turn around the wage stagnation, to turn around the growing income inequality that we've faced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that is going to be solved in a week or a month or a year. But it's why everything from his tax plan to his plans to invest in early childhood education to his plans to invest in infrastructure and alternative energy sources are devoted to making this country not just growing better, but growing from the bottom up.
And we learned today that the FDIC is looking for more money from the Fed, the Treasury, to help troubled banks. We know that Fannie and Freddie are going to tap that credit line that the Bush administration said, oh, it's just for a rainy day. So I believe things are melting down more than the Republicans are willing to acknowledge.
Well, it's clear that there are real risks confronting us right now, and the FDIC bank report that you referred to is obviously a cause for concern. I think what we learn is that the failure to regulate in a rigorous, sensible way is going to have consequences. And once again, that is what the Republicans have stood for over the last 8 years.
Dan Tarullo, I wish we had more time, but Congressman Inslee has joined us, so thank you, and I look forward to talking with you. Maybe we can do a full hour on our program in September sometime, because I'd like to go into more depth. Thank you, sir. Good to meet you. Jay Inslee is a Democratic congressman from Washington State. Congressman, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for being here.
You're about 6'8".
I'm about 6'2", but I rebound like I'm about 5'10". I got short arms and I can't jump. Other than that, I'm a great rebounder.
Well, you have been busy trying to protect my Fourth Amendment rights.
Good.
And I wanted to just commend you, sir, because I am deeply troubled by the FISA amendments that were passed.
Right.
I want my probable cause right, full Fourth Amendment
right. Not that you have anything to hide.
I don't. And I also can't rely on the Roberts Court to reverse the legislation that passed this summer. So I commend you for that, and I hope that when we have a larger majority in the House and up to 60 or maybe more in the Senate, that we can revisit this before the two-year sunset.
I think it's important to do that. You may or may not know, I sponsored an amendment actually almost 2 years ago now that would have prohibited the expenditure of any funds that would allow the Bush administration to violate our privacy rights.
I do know that.
By distorting our FISA law. We fell short on that vote, and we've fallen a little short to get the votes to protect your privacy rights, and I do want to revisit that. And assuming we get the right folks in office this November, I hope we'll have some new reinforcements in this effort in the cause of privacy. You know, and the reason I feel so strongly about this is that it harkens back to what Justice William O. Douglas said. He said, you know, you don't lose your privacy or your constitutional privileges like a curtain coming down. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens like the twilight comes in gradations of darkness until finally it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's appropriate for you to fight over any loss of an inch of your civil liberties, even though it may not be the whole enchilada. It may not be the nightmare scenario, but you lose these things through erosion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, and I think that we've got to continue to fight this battle, and I'll keep chucking in there for you.
And can you talk to my friend George Miller? He wasn't happy with me yesterday because I was talking about this, and honestly, I gave the Democratic leadership a D-plus on the critical issues, on impeachment, on FISA, and on ending the war in Iraq.
Well, George is doing a lot of other great work. I just left him in a clean energy conference where he's trying to promote our clean energy agenda, so he has other virtues. You know, things have not gone my way, in a variety of ways. I have to tell you, though, I think our leadership's done a good job. The difficulty is they haven't had the votes.
I understand.
The best leadership in the world can't deliver the goods if they haven't got the votes. Now, we simply have not had the votes to break a filibuster to really win these battles in the Senate, and that's where the real heart of this controversy is. Give us, Mark Udall, four more senators, we can break a filibuster, we'll win these battles.
All right, sir. I wish we had more time, and I'd like to schedule some time with you in the future where we can talk
anytime.
Further.
Thanks for your work.
Jay Inslee, Democrat from Washington State. Good to have you on the program. That concludes our broadcast from Denver today. Tomorrow, we will be live from the stadium. It's got a corporate name, but we don't need to tell you that, where Barack Obama will deliver his acceptance speech. And we'll give you the pregame coverage right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening. Green 960's live coverage of the Democratic National Convention is sponsored by Strick Law Office. This is Peter B. Collins inviting you to catch the live stream this week 3 to 6 p.m. at green960.com. The Strick Law Office in San Rafael represents people like you who've been hurt through the fault of another. An auto accident, medical malpractice, workplace injury, products, drugs. Larry Strick was named a finalist as Street Fighter of the Year in 2007 by the Consumer Attorneys of California, and he's ready to fight for you. Visit his website at stricklaw.com and find out more about their services. Call toll-free 888-529-0909. That's stricklaw.com, 888-529-0909. When you're represented by the Strick Law Office, you have the confidence that one of the Bay Area's most able attorneys is representing your interests. There's no fee for initial consultation. Call 888-529-0909.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Howard Arenstein, live at the Democratic National Convention in Denver.
You better start swimming or you're going to sink like a stone, for the times, they are changing.
Melissa Etheridge sang a medley that included Bob Dylan's Song of Change, which has been a major theme of Barack Obama's quest for the presidency. Hillary Clinton paved the way today for him to win the nomination by acclamation.
I am here today to release you as my delegates.
Though some of her delegates were not very happy, she told them party unity demands that both factions join together to defeat John McCain. Her role now out of the way, her husband, the former president, is about to speak, and senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield says he, too, has an important role tonight.
If Bill Clinton wants to rehabilitate himself with those Obama delegates and those Obama supporters that he alienated in this primary season, the way to do it is with the most compelling argument about why Barack Obama should be president and John McCain shouldn't.
Down to the floor now to correspondent Peter Mayer. Peter, we seem to be talking a little bit more about the Clintons than about Obama.
That's right, Howard. Hillary Clinton's dramatic reconciliation gesture and now Bill Clinton's speech coming up mean the Clintons have dominated this convention for two straight days. Senator Clinton has secured her own role as a party leader. Bill Clinton will, of course, come through for Barack Obama, and if anyone needs reminding along the way, he'll show that he is and will be very much in the political game, Howard.
Vice presidential candidate Joe Biden takes the stage also. He's expected to pick up the pace of the attacks against John McCain. I'm Howard Arenstein, live in Denver. More news now from Harley Carnes.
U.S. Marines are ready to leave Anbar province in Iraq because they say it's peaceful and because they can.
Al-Anbar province was once the deadliest place in Iraq for U.S. troops. But the U.S. Marine Corps commandant says the coalition is ready to hand over the province to full Iraqi control in a matter of days. General James Conway says he also expects to be able to reduce the number of Marines on the ground there. That decision is up to the overall coalition commander.